much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Welcome, you bunch of despicable, spoiled, minimally talented brats.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Wilson toward the end zone. It is. Seattle's going to the Super Bowl.
I like to watch football game. It makes me totally insane.
It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm gonna go get it. That's the keeper right there.
Oh, God, you wouldn't belong getting frostbitten.
I know they're not in the game, but I'm going with the Sun Devils.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
But let me just say, nice.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You're stoned.
Roll another one.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Just like the other one.
What are you even doing?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Bitches be crazy.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Yes, sir.
It's our time to shine.
Shout
out to my real Africans out here.
Roll another one.
Dick poop.
Just like the other one.
Seriously, what the?
This one seems to be about to
end. It doesn't.
Just pass it around.
Sounds bad when you say it like that.
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Hold the mail.
I'll just pass it on down.
And now,
objection sustained.
No, the witness can object.
Overruled.
Sidebar.
Guilty.
Speculation.
Hearsay.
Bailiff.
Briefcase.
Disregard.
In my chamber.
Stop Beaver on the witness.
Arrest.
We could totally be lawyers.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday. It is the 30th of January.
Why do we have to wait till Sunday for the Super Bowl? Why isn't it on now?
It's always Sunday.
They've announced that from the beginning of the season.
I know, but I want it to be here now. This is America. I want it now. You know how that works.
Definitely, exactly.
Yes, I don't want to wait.
Does it work like that?
Well, we need to figure out a way to make time speed up or something because I don't like it.
We'll get right on that.
Okay. If you could solve that for me, that would be fantastic. Lisa, how you feeling?
Better. As long as I stay on Aleve and Imodium, I'm good to go.
Sweet.
When that stuff wears off, I am not happy.
You are a delicate little princess.
I really am.
Sexy, ladies and gentlemen. Sexy. And Kevin, how are you feeling?
I'm all right.
It's cool.
You're strong fighting. As a horse.
Good for you. Well, I got a story. It's been a while since we've done this, but I thought this might be an outstanding time before we get going on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show to do a little feature that we like to call You Be the Judge. That's not the right one, is it?
That isn't it.
I think we need the other one. Don't we need the other one?
We need the reverb instead of the echo?
I think.
We always need the one we don't use.
That's true. And no matter what we said it at, that's not the right one.
We 100% of the time choose the wrong way. Can we try it again, please?
Yep.
A little feature that we like to call You Be the Judge.
That's good.
Yeah,
I like it.
Okay, here's a lottery story. This happened on May 23rd, 2008.
Guilty.
All right. Kevin says guilty. Let's see what Lisa says. It has been
guilty.
You say guilty as well. Wow. This one has been winding its way through the courts in Canada since 2008.
Wow.
What happened is a man walked in. His name is Joe Eifergen. He's an accountant. He walked into a convenience store to buy lottery tickets in Canada. It was late and it was approaching the deadline. And the convenience store clerk said, hey, you got to make sure to buy those tickets before the 9 p.m. deadline. It's 8:59 and some change when he selects his numbers and hands them to the clerk who puts them in the machine. While the machine starts doing its business, one of the tickets was registered in time. It was printed just before, seconds before 9 p.m. Even though they had both been entered before 9, one was printed before 9. The second one was spit out 7 seconds after 9 p.m.
And don't you tell me that was the winner.
No.
Well, I certainly don't have to tell you that that's the ticket that won $27 million. So he says, yeah, but I gave you the money and the tickets before 9 o'clock. It's not my fault if it took that long for the machine to spit it out. I am entitled to the money. And the judge said no, and he appealed, and the judge said no, and he appealed, and it finally got up to the highest court in the land, whatever they call it, in Canada. And my question for you is, as I asked you guys to be the judges, what happened? What did they decide based on the evidence that has been presented?
I don't think they gave it to him.
I don't either. Although if you're him, doesn't that make you mad?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, it's only $27 million, Kevin. The store clerk told him, by the way, at the time he purchased it, that if only one ticket was registered, that the second one would not be eligible for the drawing, and said, do you still want to buy the second ticket? And he said, yes, I definitely want to pay
for both. How about a little less of that talk and a little more entering my thing?
Right. Exactly.
Come on.
How about a little less
Are you sure?
filibustering?
Hey, come on now.
Would you like anything else with this? Can I get you some Molson?
What the hell?
So you say he gets nothing?
Nothing,
good day, sir.
Yes.
You get nothing? Lisa, you say the same?
I think he gets nothing.
How about you, Chip? What do you think?
Same. I think nothing.
Well, you are all.
See how she has to climb up to get
she
to that
does.
Microphone.
I know. She does literally have to stay in that box.
It takes 2 seconds.
You are all correct. All of his appeals have been denied. He gets zero for being 7 seconds away from $27 million.
Every day you would wake up and you'd start to feel good. And then you go.
Then you go, you know what? That happened.
You say every day, but only up until the day that you shot yourself in the head. So it wouldn't. No, that didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, but that's likely to happen because you don't live like that for the rest of your life, right? You don't ever get over that.
I don't know how you would.
So I think he wakes up and he has those feelings you described, Lisa, but probably only for a couple of weeks.
You're probably right.
And then sweet, sweet death. So,
oh my God.
I guess if there's a moral of the story, it's know your deadlines and maybe don't cut it so close, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think.
But this guy learned a very valuable lesson for the rest of us. So sad times in Canada.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Meacho, shall we?
Hey, don't say that. Don't say that. I'm straight up. Don't say that. That's some f***ed up shit, man.
I'm straight up.
She's right. Travis Barker will be here.
Yeah.
Come on.
How about that, Travis Barker?
Yes.
But there's nothing really going on with Blink-182 to talk to him about.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what we're going to even say. Hey, how's the band? Good? All right. Thanks for stopping by.
Got an email from the King of Mexico last night. Hey, you guys are cool with Travis Barker, right? We have a standing yes for Travis Barker.
Of course.
Anytime. We also have Stephen Zajcik from the LA Times talking about American Sniper. I don't know if you've seen all the controversy. Both sides.
Yeah.
It's always fun when each side.
Well, there are political controversies, and there are also those who sharpshoot every movie as being inaccurate if it's a real story too. You know, there's a lot of that going on. A lot of people feel that Chris Kyle, having read the book, was very misrepresented in the movie. So there's a lot of controversy about this movie, but it doesn't seem to have hurt it. It seems to be a huge, huge hit.
Yeah, and it's an amazing movie. Mark Duplass will be here.
Oh, he's so great. Lisa, are you so excited?
I saw the latest episode last night. It was awesome.
And he's awesome in everything.
He is. I love him.
He's a terrific actor.
The show on HBO. There's only been three of them.
So that's right.
Plenty of time to catch up. We also have Eric Stone Street in the studio for Modern Family.
Yes.
And he's in a new movie called The Loft. Although I got to be honest, I put up a trailer last night of it, tweeted it, and then I went back and watched it again. He wasn't in it.
Yeah, I don't think he's in it at all.
So that's good.
I'm not even sure he's in the movie.
I'm not positive how that's going to work, but that's a bit later on this morning. RJ Bell from Las Vegas will be telling us how to make money on Sunday.
Okay.
Or whenever Bean gets the game moved up.
I'm hoping it'll be on by the end of today's show. That's my goal. That's what I'm shooting for.
Does God help individual teams win? Is he up there going, all right, this year, you know what? Seattle.
Next year, we'll see.
Well, no, he's not going to do that with Seattle because of Bean.
That's
How
a good point.
Dare you?
That's a good point.
Because Bean doesn't even believe in him. You think he's going to throw him a game?
I'd be willing to bet that there are lots of players on both teams who don't believe in God, yet somebody's still got to win.
Yeah, but you're more offensive somehow.
Yeah, I got to agree.
And it's Friday, so we have the movie beat. That's coming up this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Does that song have more cowbell on it than any other song we play here on this radio station?
On this radio station, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I would have to say Don't Fear the Reaper has to be the cowbell champion of all time, though, right?
That's sure. A lot of cowbell. That's for damn sure. Yeah. Hey, that's the voice of our friend Ralph Graham. He steps in for his first look at the showbiz beat on a Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Yeah, that's right. You have any idea what happened on this day back in 1933? The little radio station called WXYZ in Detroit, Michigan.
Was Doc doing the news there at that
yes,
time?
Yes, he was. He was, in fact, the newsman. But no! No, a fiery steed and with a cloud of dust and a hearty high-o silver!
Was happening, a horse went by in the parking lot?
It was a Lone Ranger!
What?
Come on, doesn't that just give you chills, that theme song?
Not really.
Here he comes again. This Lone Ranger, he's gone fight some crime. Here he comes.
Are there lyrics to this song?
God, an Indian. Come on, people.
Or did you
now?
Just make those up?
I just made those up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is, of course, the song is actually a classical piece known as the William Tell Overture.
Okay.
But it was, of course,
so the song
for a long time associated with the Lone Ranger, which first aired in 1933. Now, the character's been around for a long time.
Until Johnny Depp killed it, though. It's no
How
longer around, right?
Dare you. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Kiss also debuted today. The band Kiss.
Oh, how about that?
How about that? All right, let's talk about Super Bowl ads. It's going to happen this week, and a lot of people talking about Super Bowl ads. A lot of people upset with GoDaddy because they had a puppy, and the puppy goes through some stuff, and then he ends up being sold on the internet at the end of the commercial. Hilarious! Not to some people. Boom! Slapped them down. Now they won't air that. So Budweiser said, and we're magical, though. We have magical puppies who make friends with horses, and the horses and the puppies are friends, and they spend their lives together, and they love each other, and it's all wonderful. And everyone, oh, you're good, Budweiser. You're not like those bad GoDaddy people. You're good. You have good puppies in your commercials with good endings. And in this new Super Bowl ad, apparently the puppy and the horse are trying to get back together again, but there's a mean old wolf in between them. And how are they going to overcome the wolf? Well, not everybody's happy about that. How about the Living with Wolves Foundation?
How do they feel now?
They are now unhappy. Boo, Budweiser, boo!
That's not a thing.
How dare you make wolves look bad, Budweiser, with your commercial with the wonderful puppy and the majestic Clydesdale. What about the wolf? How about the wolf's feelings?
I don't know a lot about wolves, but I don't think I would want my puppy hanging out with one. That sounds dangerous. Am I wrong? Would a wolf not attack a puppy?
May I quote the statement?
Okay.
Please. Why do we care about the Super Bowl ad? Why does perception matter? Because how a culture perceives an animal has much to do with how they are treated and managed by people. These age-old misleading stereotypes continue to resurface in popular culture and media today, with wolves constantly depicted as ominous, dangerous threats, or even ruthless killers. See, here's what happens, America. This is what happens. When you start indulging all the freaking fringe lunatics, then everybody's opinion matters and you can't get anything done. Can't make a commercial because the wolf people aren't happy because the puppy people said it wasn't okay because the horse people said you gotta have two puppies and there's one horse. Why not two horses? God damn it!
Like a monkey.
That's what I'm saying. They're all like a monkey. The wolf people
that's
are
crazy.
Upset. The wolf people are upset.
Here's what I'm saying. That's all right.
That the wolf people are
yeah,
upset?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll be all right. We'll live. We'll weather that storm of the wolf people being upset.
I don't know. I don't want to mess with the wolf people. What if they sick their killer wolves on you?
I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, well, Okay, then. And congratulations to Tila Tequila. I haven't heard from her in a while. She did score Best Celebrity Sex Tape at the AVN Awards this past weekend.
Oh, that's great news.
Vegas. Yeah, it was good for her. Glad that she's back in the game. She chose to stay home and not accept the trophy because she's got a newborn. So she did not pick up her award for Tila Tequila 2. I can't even tell you what the subtitle is of that piece, but Fair Abraham reportedly very upset.
Oh,
she
sure.
Did not score the big win.
It's a big snub.
Sure, absolutely.
You guys remember
it's
when
like
Tila
Selma.
Tequila
it's like Selma it? Not being nominated.
When Tila Tequila was popular, remember? I mean, at one point she was one of the most looked at and talked about people on
yes,
the internet.
Yes.
Yeah, that was weird.
We had her in, though, and she was super dumb, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's because she had that TV show on VH1 or MTV or whatever it's called.
Well, right? I think she got that show because she was so phenomenally popular online.
Yeah.
But she...
Then she started speaking.
She had very little to offer.
And the Parents Television Council wants cable providers to drop a show called Sex Box because they say it sends a bad message to their kids.
Boy, does this show look like the worst thing ever on television.
Yes. But I have another idea. How about you don't let your kids watch a show called Sex Box? Unless it has a wolf in it. Then let them watch.
You know what this show is, right, Kevin?
No, I don't.
This show is a couple comes out and they go into a box on stage and have sex. And then they come out and they get interviewed about it by a panel. That's the TV show.
He's right, you know.
That's all?
That's it.
It's not enough?
Well, yeah, but why?
Exactly.
I mean, fine, but why?
Because there's a wolf and a puppy in the box.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah. Hey, let me give you some passes right now, right this very second, to the premiere of Jupiter Ascending.
Yay!
This is the premiere. It's happening Monday, February the 2nd at the TCL Chinese Theater. Mila Kunis, Lisa's boyfriend, Tanning Chatham.
Oh, Tanning Chatham's
love
the best.
Tanning Chatham.
Eddie Redmayne. Looks fantastic. If you'd like to check it out, why wouldn't you? Give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. For passes, the premiere of Jupiter Ascending. The movie is in theaters everywhere on Friday, February the 6th, just in case you don't win. Today's celebrity birthdays. Gene Hackman's 85 years old today. One of my favorites. Wish he hadn't retired when he did, but apparently he's living a very happy life in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where he occasionally punches a homeless guy. Dick Cheney is 74 years old today.
Dick Cheney.
Phil Collins is 64. Where's Phil Collins?
I don't think we have that.
Christian Bale is 41. Oh, good for him! Wilmer Valderrama, the popular Pez from That 70s Show, he is 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Fridays are the best, right, you guys?
Yeah.
RJ Bell from Las Vegas. We'll talk football coming up at 7 o'clock this morning. Right now, Ralph is here, and it's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Cool bunch of movies this weekend. Interesting bunch.
Really?
Which isn't always the case because usually Super Bowl weekend, they just throw their crap out there because theater's going to be empty on Sunday anyway. Why are we bothering?
Yeah.
But interesting batch.
And January is traditionally the dumping ground anyway for movies that aren't good enough to put out when people want them, right?
Well, I would now beg to differ. I think we have a year-long, year-round movie cycle.
All right.
Where people are taking advantage of every weekend because it's getting so crowded out there with major releases, especially during the summer and holiday season, that you got to find an opening. And studios are finding that they're reaping huge benefits by releasing films in what were traditionally known as sort of fallow periods, that they're reaping a lot of box office dollars because there isn't a lot of competition.
Hey, look at American Sniper going wide in January and biggest box office ever for January.
Exactly. That's my point. You're arguing on my side of the argument now.
Dude, I can argue both.
Yes, you can.
Because you're crazy.
That's true.
Supremacy opens up this weekend. This sounds cool. Dark and grim, but cool. A paroled white supremacist and his ruthless girlfriend kill a cop and take an African-American family hostage. What they don't realize is that the patriarch of the family is an ornery ex-con himself, and then they start to go at it inside the house.
Mm.
It's a race war!
It is race war!
Race war! Race war is happening! It's coming! Race war! Race war! Race war! Race war! Really? I have to do the whole clip by myself? Usually you can't stop playing it. Race war!
It's on!
Race war!
That's what I'm saying.
Race war is on, everybody!
Race war
it's
is
going
on.
Down.
In this case,
it's going
it's,
down.
It is going
race
down.
War.
Yes.
Killer.
In this
race
case,
war.
It is going down. It is a race war. The white supremacist against an angry black dude.
Yeah.
Danny Glover plays the angry black dude, if that helps.
Yeah, he's my pick.
Yeah, me too. Here's some clips from the trailer of Supremacy.
We don't want us
kidding. Who the hell are you?
How many in the house?
They need us alive.
Garrett Tully, number 3 in the Aryan Brotherhood.
We can't just sit here. I said we jump.
What do you say?
We got killed now.
What are you questioning, Sebeki, all of a sudden?
Look what you made me do.
We get an opportunity, we're going to take it.
Are you going to kill us?
I don't know about that.
Race war! Race war!
Race war!
Also opening this weekend, Black or White. Speaking of race wars, Kevin Costner beats up a black
it's
kid.
On. Race war!
Yeah, takes on a black kid.
Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down! Race war! Come on! Race war!
Beer mug is probably a cup of literal mud. I think it's mud from outside.
Yeah, okay.
Is a plant growing out of your coffee cup, Ralph?
Usually I don't see a coffee cup packed full of grounds with water added.
Floating with grounds.
That's
pretty strong.
I'm going to put that. I think it is very strong. I'm going to put that by the side.
Maybe too strong.
No, in this film, Kevin Costner is a grieving widower who is raising his granddaughter, who he's been raising since his daughter passed away, and she is biracial. And he gets into a custody battle when the father reappears into the situation. Great cast. Octavia Spencer, Gillian Jacobs, Bill Burr is also in this film by director Mike Binder. It's called Black or White. Here's some clips from the trailer.
This is Eloise. She's my granddaughter. My wife and I raised her after my daughter died.
Bye, Papa.
Then life threw us a curve, and now her grandmother's gone, too.
Do you need to call her other grandmother?
I'm thinking we need to start talking about shared custody.
Not going to happen.
She has a father.
You live in a blind spot when it comes to your son. He's a junkie.
And you're a drunk!
Okay, thank you.
Do you dislike black people?
Not all of them. This isn't about black and white.
I love you, Mama.
This is about Eloise.
Race war! Race war!
By the way, I know he's a few years past his prime box office, but I think Kevin Costner is still an excellent actor.
I think he's better now than he was during his prime, quite frankly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought a lot of time he was sort of superficial, and they put him in these tailor-made kind of easy charm roles like Tin Cup and Bull Durham, and he kept playing the sort of the same rom-com over and over and over
again.
What's
that terrible movie he was in about the elections? Is that where he was the last guy on Earth, and they all had to appeal?
Kelsey Grammer, yeah,
terrible.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did that happen?
and the Message in a Bottle. I mean, they kept putting him in these movies, and now I think he's a lot more interesting to watch on screen, and this looks terrific. So you check that out. Project Almanac also opens up this weekend. Best story about kids who discover how to travel through time. It could happen.
Sure.
You don't know. Kids are smart these days. They know about iPads and everything. They could travel through time. Just think Chronicle, but with time travel instead of superpowers, basically. A group of teenagers discover secret plans of a time machine, and they make one. But here's the thing about time travel, and you'd think you'd know this, having seen a lot of time travel movies.
Don't change anything
in
the past.
Don't change things in the past.
Yeah,
because it starts to F things up right now.
Right.
Race war! It's a race war!
I don't think there's any race.
It's on!
Nope.
Race
it's not,
war!
It's not this time. Nope. Oh,
okay. Here is one of the kids showing a video of his 7th birthday to his friends, and he sees in that video himself as a teenager in the background in the video.
Creepy.
That's how he knows that he traveled through time.
Please, look at this.
Dude, you're crazy.
Chris,
ready,
go,
go,
play it. I'm ready, I'm ready.
Birthday, happy birthday, happy
birthday. Right there, in the mirror, look in the mirror.
Dude, is it? That can't be.
That's me.
He went to his own 7th birthday party.
That's pretty cool.
It is till
all hell breaks loose.
Timepocalypse happens. And lastly, now here's a movie I can get behind. The Loft. The Loft. Genius film. Great concept for a movie. Every married guy's fantasy. 5 married guys conspire to secretly rent a penthouse loft in the city where they can bang their hookers. And their girlfriends and just live out their debauched fantasies, and nobody has to know. It's just our secret, fellas. Just you and 4 buddies going in halvesies or fivesies on a penthouse apartment.
Nobody will ever
Everybody
say a word.
Everybody has a good time. Nobody ever say a word. And it's the perfect clubhouse. Nobody has to get hurt. Oh, wait a minute. There's a dead girl in the bed. Now what?
Now what, indeed.
And you know, it's only you and your four buddies who know about this place and who use it for little rendezvous. Now there's a dead chick in the bed, and everybody says, oh, I don't know who it is. One guy's lying!
Got to be Stone Street, right?
One guy killed a girl
Look at him. Come
in the
on.
Bed! It's got to be Bean, right?
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah. Here is a scene from The Loft where one of the guys in The Loft is trying to remove this freshly found dead body from their bed.
What are you doing? We need to get her out of here.
How? She is shackled to the bed.
Can't you guys see what's going on? Someone is trying to frame us.
Who? Who wants to frame us?
I don't know. But think about it. The body's cuffed to the bed. It's impossible to move. The Latin, the knife. Someone did this for a reason. Hell, the cops could be here any second.
Yeah, but none of us know who this girl is. We don't even know how she got in here.
Who else knew about the arrangement? Who else knows about our arrangement? Did anyone blab? Someone is trying to set us up.
Mm-hmm. Or is one of you a killer?
That does look terrifying, Ralph.
It's a race war!
It's not a race war.
It's a race war!
I don't think so.
I think the black guy killed a girl in the bed.
Oh, here we go. It's on.
All right.
Race war!
I don't think...
Race war's on, everybody!
It's on!
It's going down! It's going down!
I don't think...
Race war. Come on. Race war.
So anyway, look, that's a good mixed
a bag
of movies, right?
Yep.
A little something for everybody in there. What the guys from The Loft need to do is find the guys from Project Almanac and go back in time and keep the girl from being killed.
Oh, boom. Good.
Boom.
Put them together.
Give me a call, Hollywood. I'm right here. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
So what did the Psychic Clam say? What was its prediction on the Super Bowl?
Don't ask, man. The Psychic Clam is bogus. I hate
what?
It. F the Psychic Clam.
Every year, aren't there always a whole bunch of animals? Don't they usually have puppies
octopus.
On the Fallon show decide? And then they had that octopus for a while in Germany. Remember, he was picking all the games. But, what's the clam saying?
See, I had the same reaction you did, Bean, which is, this is nonsense. I'm not going to click on it.
Uh-huh.
But then I clicked on it because... What did the clam say?
Right.
I mean, as the popular song goes, what did the clam say?
Sure.
So who did he pick?
USA.
Well, USA is not played. It's Seattle and New England.
Yeah.
He picked USA.
He did. So that's why I'm saying F the clam.
Wow, that's a bogus clam.
But, right, it's a bogus clam. But then again, I'm dumb enough to click on it, so...
All right, let me tell you who does know who is going to win Super Bowl 49 in Glendale, Arizona this week, and that is God. If you believe Americans who were polled earlier this month by the Public Religious Research Institute, half of American sports fans say that they believe that God has a hand in the game. 26% of Americans pray for God to help their team. 25% think their team has been cursed. 19% believe more generally that God is involved in determining who wins on the football field. So their perception is that God is paying attention to the specifics of life on earth and actually will do things, will move things to make the team he chooses win?
Yeah, that's
is
weird.
That what they're thinking?
There's two separate things for me. One, is God real and does he interact with your life? Mm-hmm. Two, is he literally helping a sports team win?
Right.
I find that, too, really pretty hard to believe.
Well, it's hard for anyone to get inside of God's head, that's for sure. There's no question that a lot of athletes believe God. I mean, here's Russell Wilson after the NFC Championship game being interviewed by Aaron Rodgers.
Russell, just tell me. I mean, what are you thinking right now?
God is so good all the time, man.
So if God is so good all the time, does that mean if they had not had that? By the way, he should be thanking the Green Bay Packers for forgetting how to play football for 5 minutes. Who he should be thanking. But does that mean if the Seahawks had lost that God is no longer great, or God is still great but just knows better than you do who should win and lose?
I've never understood that. I don't know how that works.
Well, I got great news for you, Kevin, because we have a little invention called the Hotline to Heaven that we're going to fire up right now and get God himself on the line and find out what he thinks about all this nonsense, because we hear a lot about it every year right around Super Bowl time. Hi there, God.
Go for God.
How you been, buddy?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're good.
We're fine. There's a lot of God talk, more than usual, down here on Earth these days.
Yeah. Well, I know everything, and I hear everything.
Oh, sure.
So right. I've been
Makes
aware
sense.
Of all the talk. And by the way, Russell Wilson, God is not always so good all the time. You should see me before my first cup of coffee. Are you right? Who's with me, fellas?
So, God, answer the question once and for all.
Yeah,
you heard the survey. Half of American sports fans believe that God in some way affects the outcome of a sporting event. True or false, sir?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You are responsible for the outcome of the game.
Of course. I watch every professional sport, every game of that sport, and then I decide who wins and who loses each and every game.
Now, do you come to that conclusion based on how loyal and faithful and true to religion and praying to God the athletes on that team are?
No. I usually decide on who will it piss off most if that team loses.
Oh, I see.
You should have seen the people in Green Bay 2 weeks ago. It was freaking hilarious. Woo, I really like to F with you people.
So you're saying if it upsets the New England fans more, you'll pick Seattle. If it upsets the Seattle fans more, you'll pick New England.
Yes, because in bad times, who do you think they turn to? Boom.
Oh, so it's more business for you if they're sad rather than if they're happy. They take you for granted when they're happy and things are going well.
Yeah, they go, woo, beer bongs. But when it's sad, it's like, dear God, why? I get they talk to me more.
Hmm. Now, do you care at all whether the athletes on the field are religious?
No.
No.
You don't?
Huh.
Because most of them talk a lot of God, but really it's not in their actions.
I see.
Okay. Especially football. I mean, I got to tell you, right?
Huh? Right.
Huh?
So you don't have a favorite team then? You're just up there just having fun, just playing chess.
Whatever amuses me, really.
Ma.
It takes a lot of time, though, to watch every sport and decide who wins.
Yeah,
that's,
imagine.
That's why, like, famine, you know, disease, war, children dying and stuff. That's why a lot of stuff slips through the cracks.
Because you're watching sports?
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe if I watch a little less sports, it'd be a little less pain and suffering in the world. But I can't help it. I love sports.
Wow, that's...
I always knew there was a reason sports sucked.
That's strange.
I'm busy. I'm watching a lot of sports, so there's going to be the occasional plague. Sometimes there's going to be measles, you know, famine. You know, kids getting sick, the Kardashians, stuff happens.
Sure. Oh, and you don't even, the beautiful thing about your situation is you don't even need to buy all the, you know, the DirecTV packages or anything like that. You can just see them from where you're sitting, right?
Dude, I invented the Sunday ticket. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I think I know what you're saying.
I mean, Sunday's my day.
Right. Yeah. That's right. It is. Well,
it's
this
is one day I rest.
Incredibly, well, you've earned it. You certainly deserve
That's
a day off.
That's what I'm
God.
Thinking.
Yeah. Incredibly illuminating for us. Thank you for filling in. So can you tell us who you have planned to win for Sunday this year?
Yeah, Patriots.
Patriots are going to win, says God.
Yeah, Patriots. It's a lock. Put your money down.
All right. Now, wait, are you messing with us?
No, not me. Bet all the money you have on the Patriots.
No, I don't know what to do.
Sell your house, put the money on the Patriots.
Come on.
Can't go wrong.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Our friend Eric Stone Street in studio with us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And terrific actor and writer and director and producer and all-around good guy Mark Duplass joins us as well this morning on K-Rock. Hey, Rob, you're now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Shug Knight's been arrested. Breaking news. This just in.
You sure that's not a headline from a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
Probably all of the above.
He backed over a dude, allegedly, last night, and then took off, and they apparently just arrested him early this morning. So he will face charges for running over a guy. I haven't officially identified yet, but it seems to be his good friend Terry Carter who he ran over.
Oh, I'm sure that was an accident.
Well, actually, I think it was in this case, Lisa. Because
really?
He went to the set of this film where Dre was there and Ice Cube and a bunch of people. And it looked like he was there to start some trouble. But they told him to get out. So his buddy was with him, apparently, and was going around the back of the car to get in the passenger side. Again, this is according to bystanders. And Shug was just ticked off and gunned it in reverse while his friend was walking around the back of the car to get in the passenger side.
But then he took off.
Once,
why flee the scene if it's an accident?
Because he killed a dude. Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, Kevin has always said that Shug Knight is a punk-ass bitch.
I can't believe the stuff Bean's been saying about Shug all morning long. I really think what Bean has said,
I think he's a good guy.
I have the address, by the way. What the horrible things he's been saying about Shug Knight, I just think is awful. So I hope Shug's friends are the forgiving type. And Shug himself, it won't hold it against Bean for everything.
I agree, yes. It's bad that Bean says that.
Some people just cannot stay out of trouble. I mean, you would think the time he's already served in jail and the times he's already been shot.
He's out, by the way, on bail for having stolen a camera from a photographer. So.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think there's any learning going on here, B.
I guess not.
Bean, stuff see about? It's not right, man.
Lindsay Lohan in the news.
Sources say Lindsay has found a new calling. They say she wants to become a white witch. She wants to take control of her own destiny by, you know, doing spells, making potions, reading tarot and angel cards.
I like it.
That's one way to take control of your destiny.
I like it
Another
for her.
Would be stop drinking and doing drugs and get a job.
But if she becomes a witch, she could probably keep drinking.
That's true. She can just she can just cast up a job. She can whip up a job.
Probably no hangover because there's a cure for that.
Right.
Probably
sure some spell for that.
Right.
The whole idea apparently came from she asked a witch to cast a spell for her to get her a job, and that's when she got her role in Speed the Plow in London.
Oh,
so now she's a believer.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Look, it's just, it makes as much sense as anything else she does, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy's coming back to Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
This is awesome news.
You mean like back?
No, just he's going to make an appearance. He is going to appear on the upcoming 40th anniversary special for SNL that NBC will air on February the 15th. That's 31 years after his last appearance on the show.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
31.
It is crazy because in the fraternity of Saturday Night Live alums, it seems like most of them come back at some point and host.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie Murphy, I know that they've had the invitation out to him for decades. It just has had wanted to have nothing to do with it. He seems to just be averse to doing anything that's funny, doesn't he?
He did come back and host.
Did he?
Yeah. After he left as a player, he came back and hosted.
How long ago was that, though?
31 years ago.
Okay. I'm just saying. It's weird that he has kind of cut him off since then.
That is a little weird. He said, it just never worked out where the timing was right for me to do it, Eddie said about returning. But now apparently he's got all the time in the world.
Has he been super busy
Pluto,
for all 31?
Pluto Nash took up a lot of time,
right?
A lot of Pluto Nash. And this is great news. Really good news. Brian Wilson is working on another solo album. Always get excited when I hear one of the founding members of the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, working on his new solo album. It's called No Peer Pressure, and it's spelled P-I-E-R. It's like the pier by an ocean. Do you see? He's still got it.
All right. Can't wait for that.
I can't wait either. With his title track,
This Answer.
So I'm looking forward to hearing that.
What's the name of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Jack White, while we're talking about music, reunited with the Raconteurs Wednesday night. It's kind of
cool.
Like
that band.
I do, too. He's doing his concert at the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, and he brought out the band to do Steady As She Goes. Then they hung around to support special surprise guest Loretta Lynn, who also stepped out on stage. Jack produced her wildly successful album, Van Leer Rose, and they did their duet from that album, Portland, Oregon. And Loretta did a couple other songs, but apparently it was quite the concert. So if you were there in Nashville, you got to see the Raconteurs as well as Jack White. Very cool. How many bands does he have now?
All
40? I think just 43, 44
Yeah,
bands.
He's got a few.
This is probably his biggest hit with the Raconteurs.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
He's got Dead Weather also. Remember that he played
sure.
Shows for him. And the Raconteurs, the Stripes are gone. But right. And then his solo stuff, and then whoever else he feels like working with that week.
So he's working with Brian Wilson. He's working Brian Wilson on Brian Wilson's new solo album, his 11th.
That'd be great.
They're doing a track together called
Stone.
So.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name of that track.
Stone.
Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Gene Hackman is 85 years old today. I miss Gene Hackman.
I do too. He's great. Great in everything.
Dick Cheney is 74 years old today. I miss Dick Cheney.
You can still see him every day on Fox News as a
right.
contributor.
Yeah. Singer Phil Collins is 64 years old today. I miss Phil Collins.
I don't believe you.
I don't either. Sue Studio.
You don't miss that.
Sue Studio.
You don't miss Sue Studio.
Sue.
You
I'm
don't
saying,
miss. You don't
Sue,
miss.
First of all.
Right.
Secondly, Sue.
Right.
Thirdly, Studio.
Right.
I heard, Ralph, and I have not independently verified this, I heard that Phil Collins was the best-selling musical artist of the 1980s.
That wouldn't surprise
think
me.
Think about your Madonna and think about your Bruce Springsteen. Think about your Prince and think about your Duran Duran, those other bands that dominated that decade. I heard that Phil Collins sold more records than any of them.
Hmm.
Hmm. Pretty shocking.
Do we? I gotta get that audio. We're gonna have to get that audio of Bean talking about Phil Collins and Phil Bailey. We're the station that fills you up.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
It was both of you guys. It was both of you jackholes talking about your, hey, call us and let us know what you're selling at your yard sales, and we'll talk to you live on the air.
That was the same thing?
Same thing, because you came out of Easy Lover, and Bean's like, we're the station that fills you up with more Phil. Phil Bailey and Phil Collins. Then that should have been followed by a gunshot. Kevin, you had your chance.
Wait, is he killing himself for being there or
no!
killing me for saying it? Okay.
You're in the bunker with Hitler, and you just turn around and walk out.
I blew it, didn't I?
Shit. Christian Bale's 41 years old today. Wilmer Valderrama is 35. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The problem with having 2 weeks between the last football game and the Super Bowl is that we all have too much time to speculate about what's going to happen when none of us really know. So we already talked about the psychic clams prediction this morning, Kevin.
Bogus.
We already talked to God to find out what he thought. God said bet it all on the Patriots, but he could just be screwing with us because he told us that's what he likes to do. Now let's go to Las Vegas to pregame.com's RJ Bell, our friend, our man on this trip, who is 26 and 13 during the regular season, if you recall, and he is here to talk Super Bowl 49. RJ, how are things in Las Vegas? It just must be bustling there today.
Oh, biggest weekend of the year, really, and it's not just the game, because really, once the game starts, it's hard to find a good place to watch it down on the strip because it's so crowded. But really, the fun part is the energy Friday night, Saturday night, leading up to the game.
Now, I know that this is the biggest betting day of the year. I think I saw, what is it, $10 billion is bet on the Super Bowl, and only a tiny fraction of that is legally wagered in Nevada. But how does the Strip do year to year on Super Bowl bets?
Oh, well, if you got to ask yourself, or if you ask yourself, do I want to be a bookie or do I want to be a bettor? Well, the bottom line says you want to be a bookie.
Yeah.
So, for 24 seasons, they've accounted for the Super Bowl separately. So to the penny, you know, how much the books won, how much the books lost. 24 seasons, 22 times the bookmakers have won, and only two times have the bettors won.
Well, they know what they're doing, that's for sure. All right, beyond – we'll save your prediction for the end. So beyond who will win the game, what are the other most popular bets that people like to put down for the Super Bowl?
Well, one thing people love, and it's so simple, but that's part of the love, is the coin toss. There are like multiple millions of dollars going to be bet on the Super Bowl coin toss. And to me, it makes a lot of sense. One, people that don't follow football but are involved in the game socially at a party and all that, the idea of having a little something on the coin toss, I think, makes them feel more involved. There's also something for the degenerates, the real degen, the idea you can have a winner in your pocket before the game even kicks off is appealing. And there's something about the idea of everyone watching that coin and there's millions of people kind of interested in the result. I think there's something about that that appeals to people. By the way, check out the history. There's been 48 Super Bowls, 24 times the coin toss has been heads. 24 times it's been tailed.
Wow. Wow. So it's anyone's game there. All right. So people bet on all sorts of stats, rushing yards, receiving yards, things like that. People also bet on who will be the Super Bowl MVP, right?
Yeah, that's a common one because people really understand that. Usually the quarterbacks are the favorite in this day and age, especially Brady is the favorite. 100 wins you 180. If it's Brady.
Okay.
Now, Russell Wilson is plus 350. That's actually a big payoff for a quarterback for a team that's competitive like Seattle. But Marshawn Lynch is right behind him at plus 500. So that really speaks to the idea that Seattle is a rushing team. And it's very viable if they win. Marshawn Lynch will be the dominating factor in that. And by the way, you can bet over under how many yards Marshawn has rushing. Over under 91.5 yards.
How about whether he grabs his crotch or not? That's been a lot of talk leading up to the Super Bowl because he's been fined so heavily for that in the postseason. What do you think about that?
And that's the thing is these online books. See, Vegas is restricted to what happens on the field and is depicted in a box score. So anything statistically driven you can do in Vegas, there's over 300 prop bets at certain locations that are statistically driven. Now, the online books are not restricted, so they can do things that are more subjective, like a crotch grabbing. And yes, you can bet that. And it's an underdog, though, that he does it. 100 wins you 400 if that happens.
Give me something I can really get excited about at halftime. Katy Perry, is her top going to fall off or not?
Well, I didn't see that one, but
yeah, there's no top fall off bet.
You know, wishful thinking or not, you just can't make it happen. But here's the thing: you can actually bet, and this is surprising, but I guess maybe it's not. Katy Perry, will she show cleavage during the halftime show? And actually, that's a big underdog, plus 500. If yes,
I imagine the NFL has just worn her out with rules about what she can and can't do. Don't you get the idea?
Showing cleavage. It starts at her neck.
See, here's the handicapping.
Right.
Professional level.
Exactly.
One of the other fun prop bets, RJ, that you sent us that I think is really interesting is how many times will the phrase deflated balls be said during the game? I mean, will they still be addressing that controversy by game time Sunday, or will they put it behind them or not? The over-under is 3 times on that. It's interesting that you can bet on what the announcers will say.
Yeah, that's a good example. Usually just some general advice. You want to look towards the under. Everyone always tends to overestimate whatever the narrative is, how many times. Because when you really think about it, this is from kickoff to final whistle. This isn't about the pregame. It's not about the postgame. And the idea of 4 times, remember, it had to be 4 to win that bet. That feels like that's high to me. So I don't like the over there. But in general, you can talk about, and this is a fun one for me, Al Michaels is renowned within the Vegas circles of always making these references to gambling, even though if it's not really explicit. So one of the things he's famous for is, let's say the total on the game, it's a blowout, but the last field goal pushes the over-under total over.
Right.
He'll say something like, now the game is really over. So you can actually
oh,
bet,
really?
Will he make that kind of reference? And it's an underdog, but a small one, plus 150 if he does that.
I'm betting that Bill Belichick will not smile on camera during the telecast.
Well, you're back in the favorite because this is another fun one. You can bet, will he smile or not? And yes, is an underdog plus 140. And I saw one blog that went through and watched every game, every minute of the Pats this year, and did a tally of how many times he smiled during the game. And I remember it was like only 5 or 6. So it does, you know, amongst, I guess, 16 plus 2, 18 games. So it is an underdog, I think, mathematically.
My problem is, like, the game could be decided by 2 minutes, 1 minute left to go in the game. If that's the case and they're way ahead, I imagine he might.
I think your instincts are right there. Is I think that whatever the odds are during a regular season game, it doesn't matter how much they win by, doesn't matter who they beat, there's a sense that we got to look towards the next game. But this is the final game of the year, so if they're winning clearly, I think you're right.
All right, RJ Bell on the line from pregame.com, and immediately after this interview, he's going to put all these prop bets up on the homepage of the site so you'll be able to see them. RJ, you had great success with us during the regular season. We are now calling on you to pick the winner of Super Bowl 49. And having said that, this is one of the closest Super Bowls that we've seen, right, in terms of odds. The Patriots are only favored by 1.
Yeah, favored by 1. And in all the other past Super Bowls, there's only been 5 with a spread of less than a field goal. So kind of pick the winner is a rare thing in the Super Bowl we get to in this case. I tell you, I don't love this game. So let's make sure that we understand that. The pros actually like Seattle, but I like New England, and here's why. Is if you look at Seattle's record in the second half of the year, it's very impressive, but they played 3 backup quarterbacks, and they played the 49ers twice after Harbaugh and the team had kind of given up on each other. So I think their record and the results are a little bit deceiving. I think New England is the slightly better team, so my official pick, the Pats to win the game and cover the spread.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you go. Friend RJ Bell, pregame.com is where you find him online. Have a great weekend. Enjoying watching the Super Bowl. We'll talk to you again soon, RJ.
Thank you, guys.
There's one thing I've learned from watching Modern Family. It's that you can't have a party without a clown. Fizbo himself, ladies and gentlemen, steps in. The great actor Eric Stone Street joins us here.
Thank you.
Eric. How you doing, man?
Very good. How are you?
I saw you marveling, as we all do, at how Lisa puts the traffic together. It's incredible, isn't it?
Well, I was trying to look at her notes and seeing what she had written versus what she was saying, and I couldn't figure out, like, where did you have that it could
be? She makes it all up.
Yeah.
I don't make it up. I have my shorthand.
Yeah, but I didn't see anywhere where it said, and now there might be 3 lanes blocked, but yet you said that.
Well, I read that on something earlier.
Oh, wow.
She makes it up.
And
essentially.
I'm always amazed, because I wanted to be a DJ, I think, as a kid, how voices, when you're in person, you can't believe they're coming out of the people.
It's sort of weird.
They
right?
don't match.
It is
well,
weird.
It's weird. Yeah. It's always weird.
That happens to us. I mean, we're in radio, and when I meet people, I still am surprised by the way they look. And I should be the last person to be surprised because I know, you know?
Yeah. But
anyway, how you been, Eric? What have you been up to, man?
Well, I've just been up to the same old stuff, working on that show Modern Family and going to Kings games and just living my life. And
how have you and Kevin been enjoying the Kings season so far?
You know,
the last game was really good.
The third period felt like we were in the playoffs, baby.
Yes, it did.
Was this the Blackhawks win?
Yeah. And we stepped up and we won, which made me feel good about the rest of the season.
The month before that was rough.
It was rough.
It's a tough.
But, as rough as it was for us, imagine how rough it was for the players.
Yeah.
They were not happy.
We Eric, do they invite you like you know to practice or in the locker room or down on the ice? Do you get to like hang out with these guys that you love so much?
Well, I have gotten to know a couple of them pretty well. Andre Kopitar and I have become buddies. But
does that blow your mind?
It does blow my mind. It does because it's the other. A couple games ago, he got hurt. He took a puck to the neck, and I was my seats are pretty close, and I've never been that invested. I mean, I'm always concerned about player safety.
Right.
But now it's all of a sudden my friend is down on the ice, and I'm like, Andre!
Did you think of jumping the glass to start a fight?
I want to get in those melees so bad. I do want to get in those. But, yeah, it's weird. I always think about 18-year-old me and how much he would be freaking out right now being friends with a professional hockey player, arguably one of the best in the league. And
who was your team when you were growing up?
I didn't have a hockey team. I got into hockey the year before we won the first Stanley Cup.
Oh.
Just by going to games. I went to a couple games as a kid. We had an AFL team there in Kansas City called the Kansas City Blades. I don't think they were. I think they weren't the AFL. But then we had the Scouts when I was a young kid, who they became the Avalanche and then the New Jersey Devils. So the Kansas City franchise is now the New Jersey Devils.
Okay.
But I didn't really follow hockey that much. And then I got into it, and I literally, as a sports fan, really feel like I'm qualified to say, if you're not into hockey, you are definitely missing something.
Yeah, I don't get something. That. I don't get that. There's a lot of stuff that I'm into, and I go, well, I can see why. Maybe it's just me I'm into it, but that's one thing where I go, I don't know, if you like sports.
Yeah, and you're not watching hockey.
How do you not love hockey the most?
Every person I take to a hockey game for the first time is like, okay, I'm in. I want to go back.
It's an incredible sport in person, too. It really is incredible. And how's the day job going? How many seasons are we in the Modern Family now?
This is our sixth season, and we have six episodes to go of the sixth season. I cannot believe I was here, I think, the first season.
Ralph was saying yesterday that sometimes you sort of take something like this for granted. Modern Family has been great from episode one and is still great.
Yeah, we feel that way. I mean, our writers, we love when we read things people say on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. It's like, they must have got new writers on Modern Family because it sucks now or whatever.
meanwhile, after one episode or whatever?
Meanwhile, most of the writers have been there at least from season two. But we really think the show is still fantastic, and we still think we're telling great stories with precision, from the writing standpoint. And, we try to hit it from an actor standpoint as well. And we feel we still do that. But obviously people, have a memory of something from the first season or second season that we'll never live up to. That's just not, we can't control that. But we think it's still great.
I have a question that is I can ask of your show, because lots of shows have gone through this. When you are on for so long that all the kids start to grow up and become adults, does that make it a challenge for the writers to continue to come up with plot lines that are, especially when you've got a show that has a lot of parent-kid stuff?
Well, I mean, I think that's what's brilliant and beautiful about the foundation of the show is it's a family show, and in real life, people get older and change, and you just start telling other stories. And honestly, you can start shows recycle stories all the time. We know that, and just put different characters in them. But you can start to have Luke or Haley, or Alex living a story that maybe that I'm blanking on my own show's characters. What's the character Sarah Hyland plays again?
Is she Haley?
Yeah, Haley. You can have Alex living a Haley story, or Nolan, Luke living a Jay story or whatever, because they're getting older. I mean, that's what happens.
I just think, isn't Lily like 35 now?
She's 8. I think she,
oh, 8. Okay.
I think she just turned 8.
All right. Eric Stone Street is here at the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, we talk about Modern Family Wednesday nights at 9 on ABC. But the reason Eric is here is because he is a big-time movie star starting today. A new film we were just talking about last hour in the movie beat called The Loft. And when you think of Hollywood's hunkiest, you think of Carl Urban, you think of Wentworth Miller, James Marsden, and, of course, Eric Stone Street. Mm-hmm. That's why these guys are in the brotherhood of The Loft. And we'll talk all about it when we return after this on K-Rock.
Eric Stone Street from Modern Family is here to talk about his new movie, The Loft.
Welcome to The Loft.
Think about it. No messy hotel bills. No questionable credit card activity. Tell nobody. Have fun. What the hell happened? This can't be real. Do you know who she is? Of course not.
We gotta call the cops.
Think about our wife.
There's a dead woman here, Vincent.
Are you keeping secrets?
Who is she?
Do we know her?
Hell no!
Awesome. Five guys conspire to secretly share a penthouse loft in the city. Only one of them is not handsome enough to appear in the trailer, and that's the one who's with us here on K-Rock right now.
Oh, so funny, right?
When the trailer came out, though, Eric, did you go, hey, I'm in the movie, too?
Oh, I absolutely did. The first trailer that came out a long time ago, I was, like, prominently featured. You know, and then I'm like, wait a second. That's not fair, because here I'm out talking about it, and it looks like I have, like, 3 lines in a bar scene or something like that.
But you're one of the five guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think part of it is people know me and associate, that guy's funny.
I can see that.
So I think they want to protect that. And my part in the movie is the most funny of the five guys. Uh-huh. I am the levity, which the movie needs. It's a very over-the-top, suspenseful, you know, throwback sort of thriller. So I'm the release of the rubber band stretch every once in a while, you know. So I don't think they want to give that away.
That makes a lot of sense. Nice.
But a second.
Yeah.
Just like in a camera pan or something.
Make no mistake. I 100% agree that I'm one of the people that will get people in the seats to see the movie, and that they should have figured out a way better.
This looks like, and there aren't enough psychological thrillers for my money. This looks like it just ratchets up the intensity. The trailer is great, Eric. Tell me about the movie. I mean, do you love it?
Yeah, it is exactly what you said. It's a psycho thriller. I mean, when you think you've got it figured out, you don't. It just keeps kind of turning and twisting there towards the end. And it is exactly what I said. It reminds me of a movie like Basic Instinct. You know, it's like a big bag of popcorn type of movie. It's, you sit down and you just get into it. The music is fantastic. The score is awesome in it. And the performances are great. James Marsden's so damn pretty, it pisses me off. Like, we were at the screening the other night, and they wanted to take a picture. I'm like, you know I hate taking pictures with you. It's like,
by the way, Wentworth Miller and Carl Urban, no dogs either.
No dogs either. They're handsome guys, too.
How did you get involved in this movie? Because it seems like a person that is in a high-profile role like you are in Modern Family, mm-hmm. and does it so well and is so associated with it.
The director...
Was it a natural...
Yeah, they just – it's one of those things where the script comes out and the agents are like, oh, this could be a cool movie, and you go and meet. And I met the director, who is from Belgium, Eric Van Looy is his name, and this is the second time he's made this movie. He did a Belgian version, and then he directed the American version. You know, basically, because the part that I do play is the most humorous, that was obviously enticing to him. And then my only thing was, you know, you have to at least think at some point that maybe I did it. So I'm going to bring a little darkness to it. And so he believed I could do that.
Did you do it?
Did I do it in the movie? Well, you got to wait and see
I thought maybe I could trip you up.
Cheating on your wife aside, which no one is advocating as a good idea, what do you think about these guys and their plan of having a super secret penthouse loft that nobody knows about that they can just, you know, have a sign-up sheet and use it when they need it?
Well, listen.
Is it a solid plan? Should it have worked?
In theory, it could have worked. You know, it is Hollywood, and we tell fantastical, sensational stories in our town. So I am not saying that anyone should actually do this. I love women, and I want women to love me. So I am I'm not going to advocate that. But
Bean, do you have a loft? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
I don't have a loft. Look, I couldn't get it. I can't get anyone to my house. I certainly couldn't get anyone.
Well, that's
a loft.
What I said the whole time. It's like Marty's using the loft to just take private number twos without being like without being bothered. My character's up there just like reading the paper, catching up on some sleep, while James Marsden and Carl Urban are banging hot chicks.
And the TV is probably nicer than the one Marty has in his apartment, so that's probably worth going to watch the game or whatever.
Exactly. But I'm currently in construction on a guest house at my house, and after the movie, all my married friends that were there, after the movie in front of their wives, I said, so you know the guest house I'm building? And they're like, yeah, and I had a key, and I handed them all keys. And all the wives but one thought it was funny. One wife did not think it was funny.
Wife wouldn't think
at all.
Well, the film is out in theaters today. It is called The Loft, and you know, you mentioned that the movie had previously been made for a Dutch audience, and it was a box office sensation. They're like record breaking, right?
Yeah, it was big. It was big in Belgium. Well, there was a Dutch version too. There was three versions.
Oh, okay.
The Belgian version was first, and then they did a Dutch version that was like a rot, like seriously. Because you'll see when the movie, like, it could go porn real quick.
Right.
Like, it doesn't. Make no mistake. This is just a good movie, but there's nothing like that.
But in Belgium, they stepped over that line?
No, in the Dutch version.
In
the Dutch version, they went in that direction a little
like
bit.
They do.
I've never seen it, but they've just took advantage of, we can have a lot of nudity in this movie.
All right, go see The Loft. Before we let you go, Eric, I know because we've had you on before, and I know you're a big football fan as well.
Yeah.
We talked about hockey. Thoughts on the Super Bowl?
I think the Patriots are going to win is my feeling. I don't think you can really kind of bet against the Patriots because I think they're
– Unless they're playing the Giants in the Super Bowl, in which case always bet against the Patriots.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I think the Patriots got it. You know, you say it out loud, and then you think, like, well, Seattle's so good.
Well, that's the thing. You could argue either side easily.
And none of us know. It's really just entertaining speculation is all. We just don't know.
I think it'll be the Patriots.
Okay. All right, we're holding you to that.
Are you a better?
I am not a better. I mean, I would have a gentleman's bet if anyone wants to do that.
Can we bet on a key to your guest house?
And the prize is a key to my guest house. You can have it.
All right. Modern Family airs Wednesday nights at 9 on ABC, but everybody knows that. The Loft is in theaters today. We'll see you at the next Kings game. Our friend Eric Stone.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Eric. Thank you, guys. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Sorry. 7:55.
Actor Mark Duplass joins us in studio next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. We're also going to talk to a Los Angeles Times writer who has written a piece about all of the controversy that has been swirling around America's biggest hit right now in the theaters, American Sniper. Everybody's coming out and claiming a little piece of American Sniper. Everybody wants a little bit of that action.
Yeah.
People on opposite sides of the political spectrum are both saying that movie speaks for me. It's kind of a weird scenario that's going on. So we'll talk to Steven Zaitchik just after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Well, one part of the political spectrum says that movie does not speak for me, and it's bad.
Yeah.
And the guy in it is bad. And the other people saying he's a great American hero, and you can't see... couldn't spit on your boots or something. I forget what Sarah Palin said, but something to that effect. So,
yeah.
People need a reason to be angry.
It's true.
That's why Chelsea Handler exists. Works for me. She can't stop pulling her cans out in a desperate attempt to get attention. I don't know if you know this, but she keeps posting pictures of herself topless.
I don't know that.
Oh, yeah, constantly.
I don't really...
She just
but we're not against that, are we, Ralph?
Yes, we are.
Oh, we are.
She's not...
we're against her doing
She's not
that.
The one you want.
Right.
She's added another to her topless photo Instagram collection. Posed wearing pasties in the shape of the Star of David during a trip to Israel.
All right.
That seems respectful.
She's riding a camel in the shot, and she's got Star of David pasties. And she captioned it, "A Muslim allowed a topless Jew to sit on a camel. Can't we all live side by side?"
Stop it.
Yeah, stop it indeed. Stop it.
Isn't she on that small list of celebrities who's really getting on Instagram for not allowing female nudity on the site? I mean, her argument is that they free the nipples. She's one of those people too, right?
I just try to follow the very bare minimum of anything she says and does, so I'm not...
Hers should be confined. Yeah. Everyone else, free.
Later!
Free.
also in the news. She Instagrammed a photo of herself recently in just in her underwear, her Calvin Klein's, saying, "Oh, maybe this will help me with my disease," or some like insane caption. She's a mess. Maybe my Calvin's will help with my chicken yunga. That's what she's got, the chicken yunga, by the way.
I never heard of that before she got it.
Well,
is that a thing?
It is. You get it from mosquitoes in Bora Bora. That's where she picked it up.
Huh. Yeah. Chicken yunga.
Chicken yunga. She gave the mosquito syphilis, but the mosquito gave her chicken yunga. Linda Lohan says that she wants to become a white witch. All right, put down.
No, I love it.
Put down the Stevie Nicks record.
Don't put anything down.
It doesn't. She hopes to take control of her destiny by studying witchcraft and learning how to do spells, make potions, read tarot and angel cards.
I'm all for it.
Come on.
Go for it, Lindsay.
This is crazy.
All for it.
If you want to control your life, why don't you get a job or, you know, take a class or do something that people do?
She wants to be a witch. What's wrong with that?
Because there's no such thing as witchcraft, Kevin.
Oh, man, you don't know anything.
Yeah, it's possible. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Wilmer Valderrama from That 70s Show is 35 years old today. That's, as far as I know, all he's got, right?
He had that, I think he produces a bunch of TV shows.
He had that Yo Mama Show,
oh,
right?
My God, the Yo Mama Show.
He had that. But other than that, how's this guy paying his bills?
I don't know.
And for those people who wrote and said, "You said his name was Pez on That 70s Show. A moment with ha." Yeah, it's a joke I've been doing for about 15 years.
But then we usually correct him, and we didn't. I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe that's why. So, Wilmer Valderrama played the popular character Pez on That 70s
Fez.
Show. What?
Pez.
What? Thank you. He's 35. Christian Bale.
No! No! You don't look in la-di-da-di-da.
No! No!
He's 41 years
Ralph,
old.
Ralph, you're a student and a fan of actors.
I am, sir.
Is he top 10 in the world right now, Christian Bale?
Boy, I think you'd have to make room for him in the top 10 list, yeah.
In terms of just sheer talent?
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
And range. He's one of those guys we talked about before. Like, there's some actors who are just good in the right kind of role. They can be serviceable if they're cast right. You can have Christian Bale play pretty much anybody.
Right. He could have played Martin Luther King in Selma and been great.
Yeah. Dick Cheney's 74 years old today.
Dick Cheney.
Gene Hackman's 85. And singer Phil Collins is 64. Oh, Phil Collins. Remember when Phil Collins was all over the radio? You couldn't get away from Phil Collins back in the day. And sometimes you hear a couple chuckleheads coming out of a Phil Collins song. And you're just like, wow, those guys don't deserve to be working in this industry.
It's kind of a Saturday thing to do is to go to yard sales.
Yard sales, right?
We're going to find out if you have one. Call us at 880-5000.
A little free publicity. We want to make fun of the stuff you're trying to give away and sell here this morning. Number again, 880-5000. From 93.7, KRQ, Tucson's only hit music station and the station that gives you your fill. In this case, Phil Collins and Phil Bailey on KRQ.
Stop it.
Wow. What's your point, Ralph? It was the 80s. That's what people did on the radio in the 80s.
Oh, wait a minute. Call in and tell us what you're trying to sell in your yard sale. Was a good radio idea in any decade?
We're going to do it on Monday's show.
Wouldn't surprise me. Hall of Fame!
I am not defending, just for the record.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Actor Mark Duplass joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And at 9 o'clock this morning, how about this? Our friend Travis Barker from Blink 182 is going to be here. Think there's much going on with that band we can talk to him about?
Probably not. Maybe. I don't think so.
Travis Barker at 9 o'clock right here on K-Rock. First, though, we want to dive a little bit into the controversy around the biggest movie of the month, American Sniper. It's been in theaters, making huge, huge box office, but quite controversial. Steven Zaitchik is on the phone. He is the arts and entertainment writer for the Los Angeles Times. Steven has written for Variety and Hollywood Reporter, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, and so much more, covering all things Hollywood. And you are in Utah right now for Sundance. How's that going?
Yeah, just winding down here at Mark Duplass, probably just up the street. Going well, guys. You know, lots of good movies. And this is, of course, where last year Boyhood first emerged. So it'll be an interesting next couple months to see what breaks out.
The only frustrating thing for us civilians, though, is that we start hearing about all these movies and how great they are. And sometimes we have to wait, you know, 6, 8, 10 months or a year to see them.
It's funny. A friend of mine just said, you know, every time you get a tweet or write something about the Sundance film, it's like, It's like telling someone who's on a diet what a great cheeseburger you just had.
Yeah.
So pretty much tortured everyone else, I realize.
Well, let's talk about this American Sniper. First of all, even with the pedigree, even with Bradley Cooper, who's one of our best actors, even with Clint Eastwood, who's one of our best directors, I think we were all still surprised at how much money this thing has made so far, right?
Absolutely. This has been a huge blockbuster, and I think, you know, even Warner Brothers is a little taken aback. You know, they kind of rolled it out slowly over Christmas, a couple of theaters, did the art house thing. And then, you know, buzz was building, and of course, these movies had done well lately. We had one Survivor last year do the same thing. But to do the kind of numbers it's done, you know, has just taken everyone by surprise.
So where did all the Twitter sniping come from? What's people's beef with it?
Well, it's funny, you know, and this is sort of what I think, one of the reasons I've been writing about it and think it's so interesting, is that people seem to kind of have a fairly, I think, a narrow view on what the film says, and then everyone just kind of argues over whether that's good or not. You know, you had Sarah Palin, the lovely Sarah Palin, making a case that this is a great patriotic movie and how dare anyone not like it. And then you had, on the other side, people like Michael Moore, Seth Rogen saying, hey, wait a second, he wasn't such a hero. Why is this movie catching on? I'm not sure the film is actually saying all the sort of big pro-military patriotic things that everyone says it's saying, but that seems to be the read out there.
One of the complaints that I have read, Steve, and tell me, and I haven't seen the movie. Kevin has seen the movie. But one of the complaints I've read is that that Clint Eastwood seems to make the connection between the events of 9/11 and the Iraq War. And, of course, that was a nightmare that we all lived through for years, the debate over whether those two had anything to do with another. And a lot of people are just kind of protesting the movie just based on the fact that they continue to make that assumption, where most people think that's largely been disproved.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that is a big – if you look at what some of the critiques from the left have been, there was that big article in the New Republic. There have been other things online that have kind of made exactly that point. You know, the movie doesn't really get into anything at a sort of big policy kind of national level. It's really looking at one guy and his journey. It does make the connection for him that he's looking at 9/11, and that kind of motivated him to go over to Iraq. So, you know, on the one end, I kind of get the criticism. On the other hand, it's like, well, no one is saying that's why we should have been there. But did it make one guy decide that, you know, Iraq is important to him? It might have. And in the case of Chris Kyle, who I know you guys know, maybe it did.
Yeah, it's bizarre, though, because it seems like whatever you feel about war and that war is what you're going to get out of the movie. And I didn't get any of that from watching it. I was amazed by the hard choices that guy had to make. I was amazed probably more by the toll that it took on his family and his wife and all of the people that must have gone through hell because their guy went over there. Even if he came back, it seems like it tore a lot of families apart.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately what the movie is saying. And if you listen, you know, I've talked to Bradley Cooper, you know, for a story we did on Taya Kyle, in fact, and you listen to what Eastwood is saying. I mean, that's all they're really trying to show is the toll it takes on people and the choice he has to make. You know, a lot of times he's kind of sitting there, you know, that if you remember that opening scene, you know, where he's watching, and I know he talked about it on your show, and this woman is coming at him, and it's the first day on the job. He's got to decide whether he shoots or not. You know, that's just an impossible situation for anyone to be in. So I think it really is trying to show what one person goes through in a war, what, as you said, his family goes through. But it is going to be this kind of Rorschach test. Everyone's going to look at it and say, well, I feel this way about Iraq. I feel this way about war. And they're going to read that into it.
Did you read the book, Stephen?
I did.
And how accurately do you think what he wrote in his own words in his autobiography before his death, how accurate do you think that's reflected in the portrayal on screen by Bradley Cooper?
Fairly accurate. I mean, I think, you know, you have one thing you have to remember, first of all, and just the fact that a movie just has to cut down so much, is also that, you know, that book was very much told from his perspective. This movie has a slightly different kind of viewpoint. It's third person. He's not narrating it. He's not, you know, you're kind of viewing him a little bit from a distance. But, you know, I think it's basically right. He does make some claims, as Jesse Ventura can tell us. He makes some claims.
Won the lawsuit against him, right?
Yeah, exactly. Won the defamation lawsuit. He does make some claims that seem a little larger than life in the movie, and I think, you know, for the most part, Eastwood kind of tamps that down. But otherwise, I don't think people who read the book will be surprised by a lot of what they see in the film. I think it's pretty faithful.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a documentary. I mean, you do have to make some adjustments. You have to combine characters. You have to compress timelines. I mean, there's a lot of things you have to do to make a real life turn into a movie. The only thing I wanted to ask you about in terms of the accuracy, though, that some people seem to have a problem with is that in the book and in interviews, the real Chris Kyle didn't seem to be that tortured by the choices that he made. It was pretty black or white for him. He didn't have any problem with killing the people that he was asked to kill. But in the movie, they kind of make it seem like it weighed heavy on his mind, right?
A little bit. I mean, it's not totally, if you remember, I mean, there are sort of points in the movie where he kind of, he maybe seems to struggle with it a bit, but for the most part, he kind of gives this almost robotic answer. He's like, someone, you know, his wife, Taya, asks him, others ask him, hey, do you have any kind of tough nights thinking about this? He says, the only thing that keeps me up is the guys I couldn't save. So he doesn't really get that into it, but I do agree that that's been one of the criticisms, and it's a fair one, that to the extent it does show him a little bit kind of grappling with it, the book is not a memoir of a tortured soul. It's you know, this is what I did. I'm proud of it.
How do you think it'll do at the Academy Awards with this controversy around? Is it going to hurt it or help it?
You know, it's funny. I've gone back and forth on what exactly this movie is going to do there. Certainly, anytime something is a big hit, I think it helps because the Academy, you know, members like to vote for a winner. But I do think that backlash, you know, I think if it had been kind of universally embraced, it might have a good shot, you know, to kind of make a bit of a run. You know, it's not really clear what categories it could really make a dent in because there's so many good contenders this year. But I do think it's going to have a tough time now because there's just a perception. You know, a lot of voters don't even see it or don't even pay attention, but they just know, hey, wait a second, aren't Michael Moore and Sarah Palin fighting about it? Let me check something else.
Yeah. Well, you should read Stephen Zajcik's piece on the Los Angeles Times website. He's the arts and entertainment writer for the paper, and you can follow him on Twitter at a name that you'll never be able to spell. So just take a guess at it, and then eventually you'll get it, or latimes.com. Hey, have fun in your remaining hours there at Sundance. I'm glad you got a chance to come on. We really enjoyed talking to you, sir. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
He's an actor, a writer, a director, a producer, probably best known as that guy from that show. Mark Duplass joins us in studio here on the Kevin Beach Show at K-Rock. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good. What Thank do you. People most know you from when they see you on the street? Is it Mindy?
There's a couple of things that happen, okay? There's a subset of League fans who get really, really excited, and they come in, and usually they just scream the name of the show into my face. Not like a character or anything, just the League.
The League!
The League! Like, yeah, and there's that. And then there's, like, this other subset, which are kind of, like, people who are into my, like, kind of sensitive, dramatic content, like Safety Not Guaranteed and Cyrus and Togetherness. So I never quite know what I'm going to get.
Do you get the I Know You But I Don't Know Where From?
Oh, man, that's a big one. It's less of, like, I know you and I don't know where from. It's more like, hey, man, what's going on? How you doing? And then I see their eyes shift and be like, oh, this is not my friend. He comes in through my television and they're pot committed and they don't know what to do with it. And depending on my mood, I either A, let them right off the hook and say, I totally get it. This happens to me all the time. Or I'll go, where did we meet?
Oh,
and
you're a dick.
And that's awesome. And just see what happens.
I love that.
Now, you and your brother Jay, and we hope Jay's feeling better. I know he was supposed to be with you today, but he's sick like everybody is these days. But you guys have made a lot of movies together, you know, in front of and behind the camera, writing movies together. Is this something you guys started together as like little kids? Were you like the kids with the Super 8 or whatever?
It is. You know, our dad bought this monstrous VHS camera in like 1985, and Jay's a few years older than me, and so he was always the one old enough to hold the camera, and I was young and stupid, so he just made me the actor. And I just sat there and looked pretty, guys.
Yeah, sure.
But literally for the last 30 years, that same process has not changed very much. I mean, Togetherness, Jay is still holding the camera, and I am still in front of it trying to look pretty.
That's so unusual to see brothers that stay that close, though, through their adult life that continue to want to spend so much time together. Because a lot of them, I mean, you guys are both obviously very talented and both do a lot of the same things. I think in a lot of situations, you would kind of, you know, spread your wings, go off and do a lot of different things.
Yeah, you know, there's always that moment where you're like, man, I'm going to go off and do my solo album. You know? And then you quickly remember, like, I kind of like the Beatles better when they were together. They kind of make better stuff. And I think, you know, the way we look at it is making, you know, films or television is so difficult that two heads are better than one. And whatever little problems we have are quickly dwarfed by the major problem of trying to make something good.
That's not always the case, though. I mean, it can be a huge issue. You guys got along when you were kids?
Yeah, we did great. And I think the truth is, like, the little brother always wants to hang out with the big brother, you know.
Sure.
But the big brother and Jay was really good about it. I mean, like, he gave me, you know, the rise and fall of Ziggy Stardust when I was 8 years old, and then he showed me Raising Arizona when I was 10. And
wow.
And so now basically he can do whatever the hell he wants to me, and I will continue to worship him.
Right.
And I tell my daughters that all the time. My oldest daughter is, you know, my little daughter's a pain in the ass to her sometimes. You know? And I'm just like, if you are nice to her, you will have a slave for the rest of your life. So do it.
Are you jealous of his full, beautiful beard?
Here's the thing. All right, we don't.
I sense it would take you about a year, and you couldn't get his beard.
We don't like to. We're not competitive at all, and we love each other, except when it comes down to body hair.
Okay? Oh, that's really, sorry, I didn't mean to press this.
There's a lot of issue. It's too early for this. I don't want to talk about it.
I didn't mean to pick at that. I'm sorry, Mark. I didn't know it was so painful.
No, you know, Jay was the first guy who came up with the idea to have a beard, and now he kind of owns it. And I feel like, you know, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to start getting a double chin. I'm going to start getting older. I'm going to want to grow the beard to cover it. But Jay's already got the beard.
Yeah, he has to relinquish it before you can.
I think Jay's going to have to die before I grow a beard, wow. Guys.
Wow. It's more serious than I thought.
Yeah, no, this is real.
Mark Duplass is here at the Kevin DeBeach Show. We have so much we want to talk to him about, not the least of which is Togetherness, which, by the way, airs on HBO. Although you're off for a week. Why are you guys off? Because of the Super Bowl? Something?
Yeah, it is Super Bowl, but it's kind of cool, though, because when you're a new show, people are still kind of catching up. So I think what we're finding, I've talked to people, and they're like, okay, I'm hearing all about this. Now I'm going to go binge the first three episodes and come back for episode four, which will be, the week after next.
It is so good, this show, you guys. We can't wait to tell you all about it. It's called Togetherness. Mark Duplass is here. More with him in a moment after this on K-Rock. During the song there, we were being schooled by Mark Duplass in our studio about how the business works. And he's a guy who knows. You just got back from Sundance in Park City. You are affiliated with a whole bunch of movies there, right?
Yeah, we had three movies, and we had also an independent television show, a show that we financed completely independently that we're in the middle of selling right now. So,
what do you do? Like, do you set a clock and like, all right, for the next hour, I'm going to work on this project, and then an hour after that, I'm going to give 60 minutes to this project? I mean, how do you do so many things at one time?
I'm in the middle of it right now with my therapist, I'll be honest with you. And the thing is, I've been struggling for so long as an independent filmmaker to get to the buffet of success or some form of success, and now I'm here and I can't stop eating everything, and I have to figure out how to.
It's going
to
kill you.
Slow.
It's going to kill you.
It's going to kill me. So I'm figuring all that out right now. But the truth is, I have a big team. I have all my brother. I have Stephanie Langhoff, who runs our company. I work with all of my friends, and we're all in it together. And I've taken this kind of motto, which is basically like, I don't make meetings. I make movies, and I never take general meetings. I never stay on a phone call for longer than 3 minutes. That doesn't need to be that. And I'm just ruthlessly efficient with my time.
Smart. Let's talk about Togetherness. You said off the air, and I think this is worth repeating, is that when you first saw the promo for that, you could have thought, hey, that looks like a billion other shows that have come before it.
I would even go further than that. That looks like a billion other crappy network TV shows that are about to fail.
What's different about Togetherness on HBO Sunday nights?
Well, it is a simple show. It's about two couples, one of whom is married, and they have two young kids, and they're struggling with kind of losing each other and their spark for each other, and trying to figure out what's the next phase of their life going to be. The other couple is they haven't found that traction either romantically or professionally, and these two couples are kind of jealous of each other. They each want what the other can have, and it's a very simple template for us to do what we love doing, which is exploring and, truthfully, those interpersonal relationship dynamics that are dramatic and that are funny. And I guess the way I would describe the show is it is not dissimilar to the form of a Parenthood or a Modern Family, but we really, really try to take the lens in the most natural and realistic way possible.
And the casting is what the revelation is on this. I mean, Amanda Peet, who's great in everything that she does, is amazing in this. Melanie Lynskey is so hot, by the way, and so funny.
And adorable.
And adorable.
Yeah, I love her.
You're kind of the weak link a little bit, as Brett. But Steve and Steve Zissou, who I recognize, I think, from a couple of your movies maybe in the past, he is amazing as the fat guy who's trying to get it together and work in Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, Steve and I went to high school together, along with the producer of our show, Stephanie Langhoff. We also went to high school together, so needless to say, we kind of have a family environment. And we've been waiting for the world to see how brilliant Steve is. And he is a lot like his character on the show. In high school, he was the lead in all the plays, and the girls just loved him. And then he kind of languished for 20 years, and we were like, what is going to happen with Steve? And one of the big impetuses to make this show was to kind of create a role where Steve could really break out.
Let's play that clip, Kevin, from the show, because this is your character, Mark Brett, who's trying to give a little bit of a pep talk to Steve. He's having trouble getting acting roles, and he's just been evicted too. Listen up.
Fat, I'm getting bald. I can't take the rejection anymore.
I can't take skinny, beautiful LA people looking at me like I'm a whale.
I don't think everybody thinks you're a whale, okay?
People look at me, man. They want to harpoon me.
Okay, this is a setback. We've had these. We regroup and we triumph. That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Yeah. Have you had the conversation of stay fat?
Yeah,
does that
happen?
Like, don't lose too much weight.
A friend of ours, it really is true. His agent came to him at a certain point and said, "Look, here's the deal, man. You are right in the middle. Okay, you are not chubby enough to be the funny chubby best friend, and you're not thin enough to get the leading man role. So you got to either lose 20 pounds or gain 20 pounds. Aww. But this whole middle ground is not working for you."
That's
and
rough.
The inhumanity of that comment rough. Struck me as something.
And you
worth,
put it in the show.
Yeah. Basically, no one is safe. Everything you guys are saying in the room right now is all it's all coming.
Mark, let's talk about that scene in episode 2, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that scene, baby. Come on.
Kevin, have you seen?
I have not.
Okay.
It's
this
just
is
cringeworthy.
Let's talk about my butt and my balls, guys.
Talk about your butt and your balls. Your character, Brett, is married to, the delightful Michelle. And you guys are, you know, like you said, you got those small kids at home, like a lot of people having some trouble with the spark. So she decides she's going to take over one night and just order you what she wants you to do. And you're not having any of it because you just want a sandwich. But at one point, she gets you down naked on all fours. Now, look. I know that you're a professional. I know that you're an actor, and you understand that's the character in the scene. But walk me through what that was like for you to film that thing.
Yeah, you know, it's very tricky because I am also the writer and the director of the show, you know? So I can't just be like, oh, Melanie, they're making us do this. Sorry. You know? I have to accept the fact that I am solely responsible for this whole situation. So here's the first thing. For those of you who have seen the show, you'll understand this. For those of you who have not, the very position that I am in on this bed and where Melanie is in relation to me, she has a specific viewpoint that really only proctologists should have. So the first order of business was just for me to apologize to her right off the bat and just say, I'm so sorry about the blocking. This is
But
what
I thought
works.
You guys covered up junk. Don't you have like little pads or something?
Yeah, you can. There's a couple of things. You can use what's called the dance belt, which is basically a skin-colored thong. But you can see a lot of that stuff. And then there's like
if I have my option.
Yeah, then there's this little like sack, which looks like a little coin sack from cartoons, you know, and you can kind of put stuff everything in there. But we were just like, look, if we're seeing that, then we're going to blow the shot. So I was like, if I have everyone's permission, can I just go in freewheeling here? And everybody was totally cool with it. And, you know, it's an extension of how we shoot the show. I mean, I don't want, like I said, I don't want this to be the show where we say we're really showing what a marriage is like and then we cover it all up. Like, let's show it.
Mm. Were you embarrassed to do that, or are you that much more evolved than the rest of us where you were able to just to take it in stride and know it was best for the show?
Or do you love making other people
uncomfortable? Exactly. Yeah. The truth of it is, you know, whenever we come up with a good idea and when we came up with this idea, I'm so desperate to do it and so excited to do it that I really don't think about myself. That said, when you take your clothes off in the moment, there's always that moment of anxiety. And everyone around you is being so delicate and sweet about it and keeping it a close set. That being said, by the time you get to take 4 or 5...
It's all good?
Oh, it does. Nobody, literally, like the first AD comes and just sits next to you. They're rubbing legs with me. I mean, it's just your junk becomes basically just another prop in the scene.
Well, it was a very funny scene, and you're right. I mean, it totally made sense within the context of what they're going through. And I have bad feelings about what's happening with this marriage. I don't like the direction it's going with Michelle just wandering off by herself at night, man. I don't like it at all.
Well, you know, you got 5 more episodes to get through this. It's going to be a lot that happens, but just hang in there.
Can we have you on speed dial so we can do a little therapy afterwards?
Exactly.
The show returns after the Super Bowl, a week from Sunday, February 8th at 9:30 on HBO, and you should definitely catch up with the first 3 episodes on your HBO Go or however you want to see it. And it's already been renewed for a second season, by the way, so congratulations on that, Mark.
Thank you, guys.
I'm so glad we had you in. We really enjoyed it. Thank you for the time.
All right, guys. Take care.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Our friend Travis Barker joins us in studio coming up after the top of the hour. Couldn't be any happier about that. Couldn't be better timing to get up with Travis and find out what's new with him. And we'll talk, of course, a lot about the 8th Annual Musing Festival that has just been announced as well. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Speaking of bands that may or may not ever play together again,
mm-hmm.
This story made me laugh. I just love me some Noel Gallagher. Love him.
What's not to love?
What's not to love? They asked him in Britain's Q magazine, do you think Oasis will ever get back together? And he said, why? So a load of middle-aged people can stand in the O2 and go, oh, they're not as good as they used to be. He's got a new, a second solo album with his new group, the High Flying Birds. It'll be out on March the 2nd. However, he didn't rule out the possibility at all. He said, would I do it for charity? No way. We're not that kind of people. For Glastonbury? I don't think Michael Eavis, the organizer, has enough money. But will we get back together one day? As long as everybody's still alive and still has their hair, it's always a possibility, but only for big money. So at least he's honest about it. God bless him.
I will tell you that it's a pretty short list of groups that have been successful, broken up, gotten back together, and still been great.
Yes.
Doesn't happen very often.
That's
a lot
true.
Of times it's just a cash in for, you know, what he's talking about is the big money reunion tour.
Yeah. Look at the Eagles.
I like that he's just out in front and going, a lot of money.
Yeah, if you give us a lot of money.
No charity.
And we're all still alive, then we'll think about it. But other than that, get out of my way.
I mean, you know, even the popular, you know, like New Kids on the Block and bands like that are huge.
Oh.
They get back together. It's not like they ever make another record that anybody ever listens to or likes. You know, it's purely nostalgia. So maybe he's got a point.
Although, maybe I stand corrected. The Eagles did have a few minor hits once they got back together.
Yeah.
Again, right?
And the show was great.
Yeah.
Well, but it's all. You don't go there to see the new stuff.
Right.
You go there to
see
Hotel California and stuff
from
30 years ago. So, Kiss, you know. When's the last time Kiss ever released an album, first of all? And second of all, the last one. Did anyone listen to anything that was on it? No, it is mostly nostalgia factor. Ah, this makes me laugh. These Super Bowl ads that are coming up. Budweiser's got one that brings back that adorable puppy in Clydesdale that made friends in last year's Super Bowl ad that everybody loved.
Yep.
Only in this year's ad, the best friends are separated, and they do whatever it takes to get back together again, despite the fact that a wolf gets in between the two of them. Well, not everyone thinks that's a great idea, especially the Living with Wolves organization, who are upset that the wolf is being depicted in a negative light. They want the ad pulled because it, and I quote, continues with age-old misleading stereotypes that continue to resurface in popular culture and media today, constantly depicting wolves as ominous and dangerous threats or even ruthless killers. We all know wolves are just as cute as cuddly little kittens.
How are those people that are living with wolves still alive, I wonder?
Because you are one of the problems, because you are perpetuating this falsehood that wolves are dangerous when in actuality they are just lovable, wonderful little creatures.
But Budweiser's not pulling the ad, though, right? They're
no,
still going to run it.
No, because they don't have to, because they're Budweiser.
Excellent.
And these are the wolves people. But GoDaddy pulled their ad because the pet parent said, you can't sell a puppy online. So they got slapped down. But the wolves, no respect for the wolves. No justice, no peace. I'm not drinking Budweiser until the wolves are gone, man. Picking on the wolves.
I'll double my intake just to counteract you.
You will?
Sure. I'll do that for you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Wilmer Valderrama is 35 years old today. Christian Bale, he's 41.
I'm Batman. I'm Batman.
What? What is Batman saying? Dick Cheney's 74 years old today. Actor Gene Hackman celebrates his 85th birthday. And singer Phil Collins is 64 years old today. I wonder what it'd sound like if Kevin Bean tried to introduce a Phil Collins
We're
song
very busy.
And on a bad morning radio show.
It's kind of a Saturday thing to do is to go to yard sales.
Yard sales, right?
We're going to find out if you have one, call us at 880-5000.
A little free publicity. We want to make fun of the stuff you're trying to give away and sell here this morning. Number again, 880-5000. From 93.7, KRQ, Tucson's only hit music station and the station that gives you your fill. In this case, Phil Collins and Phil Bailey on KRQ.
See, it gives you your fill.
Yeah.
Phil Collins and Philip Bailey.
Yeah.
They had a song they did together, and it gave Tucson its fill, that station did.
Yeah.
When it wasn't advertising the yard sales of people.
Yeah.
We may have to talk about this.
This wasn't
on
a college
Monday.
Radio station, right? This was broadcast to people.
We may have to
throughout the greater metropolitan area of Tucson, Arizona.
We may have to talk about this on Monday because Bean wants to defend it.
I would love to hear that.
Bean is all good with that.
My now, defense that's is all I care in about. Context. It was fine for you look back on it now. It's not much. Maybe we wouldn't do that same
not
thing today.
Not much,
but it was fine for 1988. That's all.
No.
I'm
yeah.
All right.
Jeff Garland has spoken. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
People oftentimes ask us, "Hey, Kevin Bean, you guys get to interview everybody on your show. Who's your favorite?" And we
Dave
say,
Grohl.
Sometimes we say Dave Grohl, but then when we don't say Dave Grohl, we say the guy who's in the studio with us right now. Kevin, for God's sakes, Travis Barker joins us on the Kevin Bean Show here on K-Rock.
Good morning,
hey,
you guys.
Travis, how you doing, man?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
You ever play with Dave Grohl, by the way?
You know, I'm trying to think. We did many of tours together. Like we did Australia tours together, and we had many of good times. And then I've done some stuff at his studio that he has out in the valley.
Right.
Like when Slash does, Slash is super cool. Like he always does stuff for his kids' school to raise money.
Right.
So he'll put together like this super group. And our last rehearsals, last time we did it was at Dave Grohl's studio. So
that's pretty cool.
It was really fun.
Do you ever get over the what's happening to me now? Because you have the weirdest life. But are you used to it yet, or does stuff still happen where you go, what's going on right now?
It's like the coolest movie ever.
It is.
You know? And I just you know, living it, not really thinking too much about it. I love playing music. I've said it a million times, and I love all the stuff that gets thrown at me or the cool opportunities I get. You know, I never.
Well, we were just talking about right as the song was ending, Trevor. Sorry to interrupt. We were just talking about how you are one of those guys who's going to play in a rock and roll band until your heart explodes. I mean, you're never going to retire and put down the drums and go, nope, I'm done with that, right?
Yeah, and I literally said you'd have to cut off my hands and don't anybody get any ideas.
Yeah, he doesn't really mean that.
That's the only way I would quit playing. You know, like I love. And then
I feel like you would tape your drumsticks to your.
I'd still figure something out. I got my two feet still, you know.
Well, we always love having you in here, Travis, and I know that there's a lot going on that we want to talk about with one of your bands right now, but let's get some business out of the way first because this is actually very, very, very cool and exciting. The OC Fair and Event Center is presenting the 8th Annual MuSync Festival. 8 years already this has been going on.
Yeah.
And I think this is the best lineup you guys have ever had.
Yeah, I'm really excited. You know, like, I mean, Rancid, Sick of It All, Off, Bad Religion, Ignite, Prayers, which is a really cool new band, Yellow Wolf, and Blink.
And so Blink 182. Like, tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m. to buy these tickets. You can go to musinc.org or ticketfly.com to buy the tickets.
Yeah, this all starts, you know, it's months in advance. You know, we start talking about, and usually I'm curating, you know, what bands are going to play. So I was so excited. I was excited, like, before Christmas, and I just wanted to like tell everyone, you know, but
sort of have
know,
to wait.
It's here, you know, and it's the most incredible lineup we've had yet. We're super excited, and you know, on top of the music, we have the best tattoo artists, and there's a car show and there's a skate demo. It's like it's everything that I love, all kind of mixed in one.
You're a mogul now. Would you consider yourself a businessman now?
I mean, I've had
businesses for a long time, but
yeah, I've had businesses. I guess as a symptom of doing what I love, I'm a businessman. But I never like, you know, you're not looking at a college graduate with a business degree, you know?
Right.
And I'm even more proud in that sense. You know, it's not like, you know, I was a pencil pusher forever and then I became like a businessman or whatever.
Right. Will you get any new ink that weekend?
Most likely. You know, it's weird. You know, it happens in the weirdest places. Famous Stars and Straps, we just did a Long Beach Agenda, and two of my tattoo artists were there, and they just happened to have their needles in the, you know, and their guns in the car. And I got tattooed there. I got a rest in peace for my buddy Triggs, who passed away, and I got a 120%er, you know. So, yeah, they happen anywhere, anytime.
Are there any parts of your body that at one time you thought, I will not get tattooed there, that now has been covered in tattoos?
My head.
Really?
Any female that I was with was always like, you cannot tattoo your head.
Right.
I will kill you, you know? And the minute I became single, that was the right first thing I did, you know? I remember I had seen someone when I was really young. I had seen, like, I was like 18, and I seen this guy at, like, Super Kmart when I was on, like, one of my binges at 3 in the morning, and he had his head tattooed, and I was like, oh, my gosh, that's the sickest thing ever. You know, it looked like, it's like a permanent haircut.
You didn't think at the time, because you said a lot of girls told you that. You didn't think at the time maybe that would turn girls off?
I don't care. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know. I'm kind of just into what I'm into. I've never worried so much about what other people think, you know? Just doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. You're also Travis Barker. That helps.
But yeah, I mean, even before then, I was always kind of like, you know, life's too short to care about what everyone else thinks.
The 8th Annual Music Festival is coming up on March the 20th through the 22nd. As you heard Travis describing, a fantastic event with cars and tattoos and great, great, great music. Tickets are going on sale today, Friday, January 30th at 10 a.m. Music.org or Ticketfly.com. Now, this particular performance by Blink-182, and you guys are playing on the Sunday night, has gotten more attention than you perhaps expected it would as a result of what's been coming out in the news in the past couple of weeks. Can we take a quick break and come back and get caught up on that, Travis?
Yeah, for sure.
Fantastic. We'll be right back with our friend Travis Barker right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Travis Barker in studio with us here on the Kevin of Angel on K-Rock, the founder of Famous Stars and Straps, now 15 years old, by the way, Travis. How crazy is that?
Oh, it's...
That's not possible.
I could have never imagined, yeah.
15 years. And, of course, from the Transplants and Blink-182, and he's played with everyone you love. The 8th Annual Music Festival is happening at the OC Fair and Event Center March 20th through 22nd. Tickets are going on sale this morning at noon. You can see Bad Religion and Rancid and Sick of It All and Off and Yellow Wolf and Blink-182. So, when the word was coming out that you guys were headlining this thing, that's when the publicity turned ugly for us that love Blink-182, because it sounds like this isn't going to be the Blink-182 we know and love. We're going to see a different face up on stage. What's going on, Travis? What's the latest here, my friend?
Yeah, it's kind of a different situation. You know, we had agreed to do this show. We had planned this in November or maybe even end of October. You know, we had all agreed to do it. It was concrete. Blink was headlining, you know, Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the day before New Year's Eve, we got an email saying Tom indefinitely is taking a leave of absence for, he doesn't know how long. It could be forever. More than likely it's forever. And we'll not be doing anything Blink related, meaning live shows, recordings. It was basically Tom's...
You're going to record an album too, right?
Yeah, we were set to go in the studio on January 5th, so 4 days before we were going in the studio. You know, you have to understand, managers had, like, studios rented, equipment was moved over. I mean, everyone was raring to go.
Yeah.
And this is, like, the fourth time it's happened. So it was like...
So you knew what that meant. As soon as you got that email, you were like, here we go again.
Well, yeah, and then there was, like, one, you know, conversation back and forth, and he's like, Tom is indefinitely out.
Travis, you know, was this unusual to get news like that via email? Did you guys not speak with one another very often, either in person or on the phone?
Well, this is exactly how it went down 10 years ago, too. No phone call from Tom. It was always, you know, his management just says, hey, don't bug Tom. Tom's out. Leave him alone.
Did you talk to him during the good times when you were –
yeah,
or not
we
really?
Just, you know, we had just got home from doing an amazing tour in Europe, like Reading and Leeds. And we played a show in Vegas as well. And, you know, Tom and I – you know, he lives in San Diego. I live in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually hit me up and was like, hey, I'm going to be in L.A. Let's get together. We had dinner. We, you know, we sat at the dinner. We were like, yo, we've never had dinner, just you and I. This is awesome. And we got to catch up. And it was, you know what I mean? It was just cool. It was outside of a show. And then, you know, 2 months later, it's this. It's like, but, you know, it comes to the point where, like, you can't make anybody do anything. You can't make a grown man. I can't make you do something you don't want to do, you know? You'd feel rotten making you do it. And you know your heart's not in it. So don't bother, you know? And this is like, you know, the way we see it is, you know, when it happened 10 years ago, we had this big tsunami benefit we were supposed to play. And we pulled out. And it sucked for everyone. It sucked for the fans. It sucked for us. And it was kind of the same thing for this music show. It's like, let's get through the show. We committed. We said we were going to play it. Let's play it, you know? And we've done it before, you know? Like, I missed a whole Australian tour. And, you know, they had a fill-in drummer. So it's not really any different, man. We're just going to play this one show, you know, get through it, and just see what happens.
What's it like on the inside when all that stuff is swirling around? What was it, 2 days? A day and a half, 2 days, 3 days. Where
I hate
just,
that.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, it just seems like because you hate drama. That's the thing about you is you have no time for drama in your life, Travis. I know that about you. So this must really be tearing you apart.
Yeah, I'm a more confrontational person. I'd rather talk to the source and work it out, figure it out. I don't like playing tennis. You say this, I say that. It's
especially in the
childish,
press too.
You know, yeah, that's for like Housewives of Atlanta or something. You know what I mean? I'm not into that. Like, You got something to say to me, call me.
Travis, one of the things that hurt my heart a little bit to read about, and this was, I think, maybe in the Rolling Stone interview that you and Mark did, where you talked about, hey, why do we even get back together in the first place? And you wondered out loud in that piece whether it was just because you had survived the plane crash and you were alive, so let's get back together. It was almost like, I mean, I'm not sure what you were trying to say there, but you kind of made it sound like even then that the motivation for Tom to get back together wasn't just because he loved the band and wanted to make new music.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird. You know, we did an album right after that, and he didn't listen to any of the mixes. He didn't approve one mix or anything that was recorded for the album. That's weird to me.
And did you record all your parts separately in separate studios too?
I mean, a little bit of both, but any time. I mean, if you guys were – it's like you guys not approving, like you guys – you know, you record something like – it's your first piece of work since you went on hiatus.
Yeah, you would think it would be
crazy. Are you crazy?
Important
you would sit there and dissect it and put it under the microscope.
Maybe too much.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, you know, it was from, you know, from the time my plane crash happened and I survived, it was like, you know, dude, you almost died. Like, I have to play music with you again. I have to do this. And then it was like, then it turned into interviews where, like, you know, I was on a plane when Travis got in a plane crash and everyone was talking to me and it felt weird and poor me. And it was like, oh, like this is just, he took it to a weird place, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it got even more weird because it was like, yo, you didn't love that. You didn't even like those group of songs long enough to listen to them. You know what I mean? And actually take the time to listen to mixes and go like, the guitar should be up louder here. It should be quieter. It just says like, I just questioned why he did it in the first place. And then, you know, every time since then, it was kind of like pulling teeth to record again.
Guys are still friends?
I mean, I don't hate nobody. I don't have a problem with anyone. You know, he's absolutely still my friend. It's just he doesn't want to play in a band. You know?
I can see it from your standpoint though, which is if you don't want to be here, I don't want you to be here either.
Yeah, it's like a chick. You know, you're not going to make a chick that's, you know, says, hey, I don't want to see you indefinitely, and I don't know how long. I might not want to see you forever. You're not going to be like, you get over here. You play with me right now. you have to, like, you need to give her space. You know, you need to, you know, let her go live. And same thing, man. Like, you know, it's just, it's one show.
So you wish him well, go off and do your thing, and we'll be over here doing our thing then.
Oh, for sure. You know, and it was like, you know, Blink's never been something, you know, I juggle a lot of things outside of Blink. You know, I record with tons of different artists, and I always seem to still know how to prioritize Blink.
Yeah.
And I still love Blink, and it's my number one priority, you know, over everything that I do. But it's like when you don't have the same passion to make that your priority as well, it makes it hard to come together as three people when one person doesn't care about it. Or when, you know,
have there been times, Travis, where you and Mark talked about wanting Tom to leave the band?
Nah, it's never been like this conspiracy, you know. It wasn't, you know, I mean, you got to understand, man, I've come in here, I don't know, maybe 10 times, and you guys have asked me, what's up with Blink? And I have to sit here and kind of be like, yeah, we're recording. It's like, you know what I mean? I've had a lie for so long. So for me, and I think Mark, there's a huge weight lifted off our chest. It's like, we don't have to lie no more. They actually know what's going on. Like, we don't have to say, yeah, we're working on stuff. You know, we've been
doing
this.
And you sort of have seen it coming for a long time because.
Well, I've personally had to do it. Every time I've come to do any kind of rock radio with you guys or anything Blink related, I've always had to, like, cover up for him. You know, and it's finally, it's just out. And, you know, he doesn't want to record. He hasn't wanted to record. We've tried recording 4 or 5 times. We've catered to him. We've got label interests. We did everything he wanted to do. And then his manager still sends us an email saying Tom's out.
Do you feel extra pressure because so many people love the band? Like, for example, my favorite live band is Rage Against the Machine. And they break up and get together about once every 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a bummer. Like you really want the band that you love to be together, but then at the same time, you don't want people there that don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Do you feel extra pressure? Because of that or no?
Nah, because it is what it is. You know, like I said, you can't make anyone do anything they don't want to do. And
nor would you want to.
Yeah. So it's like you wouldn't want that band together. Like, I love Rage. I love Tom. I love Zach. I love each of them personally. But I wouldn't want to see them together under the circumstances that I know they're not 100%.
Right.
And I'm just doing it, you know, like whatever. Same with Blink. Same with anyone, man. I don't want to see anyone stay together if it's not because they're passionate about it, they absolutely love it, and they want to, you know, be the best Blink 182 or Rage Against the Machine they could possibly be.
But you then wrote a song called Stay Together for the Kids.
I know, right? It's like, what the? I don't get it either, man. I don't get it
Travis
either.
Barker in studio with us here at the Kevin DeBean Show, talking about, among other things, the Music Festival. The tickets go on sale at 10 o'clock this morning for in OC at the fairgrounds. What was your reaction to Tom's Facebook post after the interview that you and Mark did with Rolling Stone, where he basically said, whoa, there's another side to this story. I just have commitments for Angels and Airwaves and stuff, and the guys aren't really being fair. Was there any validity, you thought, in his remarks?
You know what? I didn't I stepped out of the game of tennis right about then. I said what I had to say. I didn't read anything, you know? But if that is the case, it's like, dude, I have, like, you know, six other projects with other people, and I can still manage to juggle Blink 182. It's not like Blink 182 works 8 months out of the year, you know, 12 months out of the year. It's like, yo, we've got one show planned this year, and maybe an album that would take 4 to 6 months to record. It's like, I can do it. Yeah. And I'm still doing transplants. I'm still working with Afrojack. I'm still working with Steve Aoki. I'm working with Yellow Wolf, Prayer. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't list the amount of things that I'll do along with Blink 182 and still have a healthy relationship with Blink, you know?
So, and like, a super active father, too. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, you're, I mean, that's my number one.
A lot
one,
of time with your kids,
you know?
Too.
I got three kids, but...
Tom denies that he ever quit the band. He says, I love Blink 182 and I'm not leaving. And the other thing that he tweeted and then took down, and I don't know if you've had a chance to see this, but I'd love your comment, is he says, a year ago, Mark and I spent a week on the phone with managers debating parting with Travis. Don't pretend there isn't more to this story.
That was when they basically planned an Australian tour, and I told everyone, I'm going to try my hardest, you know, but at the end of the day, man, I was in a plane crash. I don't know if I'm ever going to fly again.
Yeah.
But if I was going to fly again, it's going to be to Australia with y'all, because I want to go and do this big day out tour, Soundwave tour, whatever, which was amazing, you know, playing with Metallica. There was no reason I wouldn't want to go. And, you know, I worked on it. Like, I worked with therapists. I did everything, and I just... I couldn't.
I sure don't think anyone blames you.
Yeah, no. I couldn't fathom the thought of doing it. You know, and then you know, we had figured out a replacement for me. They went over there, and then at one point the promoter started, you know, like kind of like mouthing off over the web, like because he was losing money. I didn't come. Shows were smaller than they were supposed to be. And I was kind of like, yo, I got in a plane crash, man. You really trying to start a fight with me over the interweb and like go at me like this, you know? And then, you know, Tom didn't like the way I talked to the promoter. But at the end of the day, man, if someone says something to me and I know it's right in my heart, like I'm not trying to, you know, cause a huge fight or a huge, you know, scene or whatever. But at that point, man, I was already home, bummed that I couldn't fly and like disappointed in myself. I couldn't get on an airplane. And then this dude comes at me weird and Tom doesn't have my back. So I was like, yo, like this is... It's a little kind of funny style. Like, you shouldn't come at me like this. You know, you should
totally
have some, you know, I don't know, respect and some sympathy or whatever. And now AJ and I are completely, like, great friends. We're working on music, going to Australia. He's like, he totally understands me. We've had dinner since then. But I guess at the time, you know, Tom was like, you know, screw Travis, he can't fly, and he didn't come to Australia.
I think Travis gets a break on not flying,
so I was
by
like,
the way.
Yeah, and I, you know, I didn't really know much about that. Like, Mark had explained it to me, and I was like, cool, you know, if that was his decision, I definitely wouldn't make the stink that he's making now. I would
Travis,
bow out,
you'd
and I'd be like,
yeah, of course.
Much love to you. Like, I wish you nothing but the best. You know, I wouldn't be doing the back and forth. And most importantly, I would speak for myself. I wouldn't think it's questionable, like, you not even having the respect to hit up your band members, even if it's like via email or phone, you know, to get a manager to do it is really just, I don't know, man. I can't really say anything positive about that. That's right there. That's a red flag. You know, like, you
hey,
can't
Travis,
even, you know,
beyond the final night, beyond the show on the 22nd of March at the Music Festival, what is the future of Blink 182 with Matt or with somebody or with anybody?
I mean, right now, the way I see it is I have Matt Skiba, who's in one of my favorite bands, like Alkaline Trio, and Matt Skiba is like, you know, a stud. He's awesome.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm so excited to play that show with him. So right now it's just like Australia. They had a tour, you know, planned. It was a month away. Go knock out that tour. Don't really think about it afterwards. We ended up, you know, regrouping as Mark, Tom, and Travis as Blink 182. With this, it's like, yo, let's play Muzink. Let's play with Matt. Let's kick major butt. And let's just see what happens. You know, nothing's set in stone. That's what, you know, all the fans have got to know. Like, this came up last minute. This was not planned. This is like, they were going to announce Blink-182 playing it, and we weren't not going to play it. We right. really wanted to play it. Mark and I really wanted to play it. We were excited about playing it. So we have Matt Skiba, who's awesome, who we've all loved and admired. Mark, Tom, and myself have all been huge Alkaline Trio fans forever. We've mm-hmm. taken them on tour. So this is exciting. You know, there's an energy in the band right now, and not to say that, you know, it's the band now, the new band, but just even talking about rehearsing or figuring out set lists have been so exciting and such good energy where it was like pulling teeth before.
Yeah.
You know, it's telling you, it's like being with a chick that does not like you anymore.
Yeah.
Cut her loose. Yeah. Like, tell her to kick rocks, you know?
But well, I like that it seems like you really genuinely want the best for Tom.
Yeah, man, I don't have...
And yeah, you're going to move on and do the best you can, and that's it?
I wish the best for everyone. I have no enemies. I have no one I wish, you know, hatred or bad things to. Like, you know, I wish everyone the best, man. Life's too short to sit around, you know, thinking bad thoughts about people or wishing anyone the worst, man. I you know, much love and good luck to everybody, you know?
I just respect that you're the only person, except for me, who still calls women chicks. That's what I like about you, Travis.
Chicks, yes.
Because I think you and I are the only two left, man.
Yeah, but he can get away with it.
Well, this show is going to be it's going to be great. It sounds like it's going to be super, super fun. So, again, it's Rancid and Sick of It All, The Interrupters, Bad Religion, Off, Ignite, Blink-182 with Matt Skiba, Yellow Wolf, and Prayers, who, by the way, thank you for tipping us off to that. I have not checked them out yet. I definitely will.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody... Prayers, the EP right now that's out is called Gothic Summers. Oh, it's Gothic Summer. It's ridiculous.
You can go to museinc.org or ticketfly.com for more information or to buy tickets, and they go on sale in just a few minutes at 10 a.m. That is going to be March 20th through the 22nd at the OC Fair and Event Center. Anything else you need to tell us, Travis, before you go, man? It's been great to see you again.
Nah, man, I'm really excited about MuseInc. I hope everyone comes out and hangs out with us, including all of you. That would be awesome. And just look for a crazy 3 days of music and tattoos. It's really going to be incredible.
Well, we always root for you. We're always Team Travis, no matter what's going on, man. So stay in touch, dude. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:46.
With all the excitement of our guest, Travis Barker, we forgot to mention that Frank DeRosa from Hermosa Beach has just won himself some tickets for U2 at the Forum, their Woo! Fifth L.A. show on June 3rd. He is now eligible for the grand prize drawing, I guess we'll do on Monday, for destination number 3 of the World Tour 2015, which is U2 in Barcelona, Spain. Your chance to qualify coming up at noon. What's going on with you, Ralph, in the showbiz beat?
Nothing. We're practically done. We're out of time. It's great.
Well, we're a little late.
Nope. Let's go. Come on. Let's go home. Happy Kiss Day, everybody. I just want to mention Happy Kiss Day.
Why is it Kiss Day?
Because the band Kiss debuted on this day back in 1973. The very first performance of Kiss.
I wonder how many people were in the club that they performed at and how many people have claimed to have been there.
It was called the Coventry Nightclub. It was in Queens, New York, and they debuted for the first time on stage in 1973.
So
and
people
I'm guessing
that were in the scene?
This is just like it was three Jewish guys in jeans jackets with some makeup on.
Probably.
Because, you know, they had no money for pyrotechnics or costumes or anything. They had like, it was like a members-only jacket, and one guy had like some goofy makeup on. They looked half-assed. And they said, who are these clowns? And then it all blew up.
By the way, whatever you think about Kiss, the fact that the band is still together and still making records and still playing shows 42 years later is pretty impressive.
Well, define still together.
Well, I mean, the two leaders of the band, the two songwriters
two
and singers are together.
Yeah. Everybody else is on the wheel of substitutes.
Right.
They say, well, who do we have playing drums for us tonight? I don't know. Spin the wheel. Oh, it's Dave. Dave's going to come in tonight.
Who's Dave?
We don't know. I don't know. Put the makeup on him and get him out there. We got a show to do.
It doesn't matter. He has
doesn't
makeup.
Doesn't matter. He's got the makeup on. Mariah Carey's ruining her life with cough syrup, Kevin.
How dare you?
Star Magazine Scissor. Says that she, pretty much. She really sounded awful, that Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting ceremony.
Yeah,
she did.
That was bad.
So she went to the doctor, and they said they put her on complete vocal rest, no singing, no talking, nothing. But she can't keep from yelling at her staff. So now to medicate her pipe, she's been downing copious amounts of cough syrup with codeine.
Wait. She can't not scream at her staff?
She can't stop talking and screaming at her staff. Yeah.
Even when the doctors say this is your living, your voice?
Yes.
Huh. Well, she doesn't have Nick Cannon to boss around anymore, so she's got to yell at somebody.
Boy, imagine being her staff. That would
so
suck.
So she's been just guzzling the codeine cough syrup, and now everyone's worried that she's too just doped out of her mind for her Vegas performances and other gigs that she's got. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see just a loopy Mariah Carey in concert.
Don't you have a feeling that those, whatever her contract is for Las Vegas, that she will not do all of those shows? Like,
yeah,
somehow this will fall apart. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Ah, Television Council's at it again. They want cable to drop the show Sex Box. What network's it on, Bean? Do you know what?
I don't. I'm sorry. It's on a bad one that shouldn't be allowed to make TV, I'll tell you that.
The show Sex Box, which features a couple going inside a box and having sex, and then coming out and talking about it.
Huh? It's another remake of a European show.
The Parents Television Council wants Sex Box to be dropped from all cable.
It's on WeTV, Rob.
WeTV, there you go. Stop with the Sex Box.
Sounds like a terrible show, but I'll watch it just because they're against it.
Look, you
can't
believe
it's real.
Sex in the box.
There's nothing to see, Kevin. There's nothing to
right.
see.
So what is she upset with the kids? But Mommy and Daddy, what are they doing inside that box?
They are talking.
Praying.
Praying?
Tell them they're praying. No one knows.
It's just so weird that they come out and then there's like a debriefing on the sex and they've got like a therapist and a pastor.
Are they strangers?
No, they're couples.
Well, what?
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Sex box, man. First rule, Sex Box. You don't talk about Sex Box.
I don't think that's... I'm not sure that's right.
And lastly, new TV news. HBO's announced a brand new pilot they're doing with Alan Ball, who created True Blood and 6 Feet Under. And Elton John.
Oh.
They're doing a pilot for an HBO show, which is right up Kevin's alley. He will be the first one to watch this. I guarantee it. It's called Virtuoso, and it's an hour-long period drama about the various musical prodigies at the Academy of Musical Excellence in 18th century Vienna.
Wow. That really is right up my alley.
It's like 18th century Glee, basically, is what it is, Kevin. And I think you're the guy for it. Who's going to watch that?
I don't know. I won't.
Lisa, we know the answer to the question. Lisa will watch
me.
It.
You know this.
I can't help
Virtuoso
it.
Is the best.
Fast forward 1 year, we're going to be having that conversation.
That's right. You guys don't know.
She was 11 and she played the violin like a champ.
Unbelievable.
Oh, I love Virtuoso. Today's celebrity birthdays. Gene Hackman's 85 years old today. Former Vice President Dick Cheney is 74. Phil Collins turned 64 years old today. Christian Bale turns 41. Wilmer Valderrama is 35 years old today. I've since been informed that he is the voice of Handy Manny. Manny the Handy. Give Manny a Handy. No, what's it called?
What?
It's some kid's show. It's about a handyman named Manny.
Okay.
Who fixes things with talking tools.
And he's
give
a voice.
Give Manny's talking tool a Handy, I think is the name of it.
I'm pretty sure that's not it.
I'm not sure that is.
Look, you're the voice on an animated show. That's not that hard, Ralph.
Apparently, that's what he does now these days. He's the voice of Manny the Handy.
Okay. All right.
Now you know. The more you know.
The more you know.
Bum, 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 bum. I'm Ralph Garman. Happy weekend, everybody.
Have a great Super Bowl weekend. Again, tickets for music are available at 10 a.m., 8 minutes. Get those. Thanks to Travis for coming to the studio today. Have a great weekend.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What's with the zombies?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Are you serious?
Roll.
She's dumb.
Just like the other one.
Okay, how does that sound to a lady?
This one seems to be about to quit.
I don't know.
And I need another hit.
Lisa May, the sky is clear. The moon is bright. There's nobody around. Not a person in sight. Come on, baby. Let's get entertained.
Roll.
Joint.
Just like the other one.
Got it. Boring mumbo jumbo.
This one seems to be about
and I love Selena Gomez.
I don't have another sense.
Dr. Drew, I'm a big fan. But you're in our house now. All right?
I'm the one guard that joined.
Will Glenda be there?
Just pass it around.
God, I'm sick and tired of this.
Hello. The ladies love me.
I just pass it on down.
Stop doing what you're doing and turn it off.
Turn it up?
Yeah, you got it. Turn it off!
Hey, dude, slow down, man. Mellow out.
There is only one thing I would like, and that I would like passionately. It is to see you leave this house and never come back.
Have you no conscience? When will this stop?
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you.
Bye, you guys.
Are we done?
Yes, we are.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.